talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are we ready to proceed?
Frank Murphy, representing Mohican, along with Senior Vice President Bob.
Get this f***ing show going.
I think we're ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know what they say? Heavy is the head that wears the pants. It's Shakespeare. Maybe pick up a book once in a while.
All right, two princes. Here we go. 95.5 WPET. You got Peter the Riff Griff shocking you and rocking you while I'm sitting here talking to you. It's 75 and sunny, which means our street squad's going to be out looking for them super stickers. If you don't got one, get down to Linoleum Depot this Saturday from 9 to 2. I'll be there hooking you up. Slap one on your car, win $100. Now I'm looking around and I'm seeing the spin doctors with not one, but two princes.
Nailed it.
And now.
You still work at the radio station?
I wouldn't call it work, but they pay me a lot of money.
Our feature presentation.
By the way, nailed it. That was me for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started in a van.
Down by the river.
Looking for cars that had bumper stickers and
sure.
Pulling them over. And not even $100, I think. Like maybe a shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the standard, man.
I was not good at that.
When I was a kid, my mom and I won $102.70.
From Rick D's?
From Kiss FM, because we waved down a van.
Wow.
And then,
you were on the other side of that, so you got the 100. I'm the guy in the van being waved down.
And I think my mom, I think she had like a flirt when we were on air. You know, we're here with Harold Dean and Jensen and blah, blah, blah. I think my mom had like a flirty thing with the drive. Like it was like a bit, you know what I mean? Like, oh, hey.
It wasn't a bit, Jensen.
Was it a bit?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could the van driver be your real father?
That's why we waved him down.
She's like, I need money.
This is him. He looks just like you.
Does anyone, serious question, does anyone put radio station bumper stickers on their cars anywhere?
Good question.
I think so. I see them.
Do you?
Yeah.
But do you see them? I mean, I guess we...
Maybe not as much as I used to.
I hope not.
No.
And I don't even know that we make stickers anymore, do we?
We do occasionally, yeah.
Sounds like some merch
like
we
last
need.
Year.
Sounds like some merch we need to make.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I heard that Peter Griffin clip and I teared up a little bit. I mean, those were the good old days right there. Weren't they? They're spin doctors coming at you not with one, but with two princes. I mean, come on, that's quality.
I knew that Bean just worshipped that. Bean said nailed it in his head before Peter did it.
I did. That was very good.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday morning, the 1st of August.
August.
And rabbit to all of you.
She knew it was rabbit.
Yeah, right?
Different rabbit.
See, that's a vibrator.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, how many teeth have y'all had pulled as adults? Do you know?
I've never had a tooth pulled.
I've never had a cavity, let alone a teeth
pulled. Oh, you both suck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Never.
Jensen, you've never had a cavity?
I have not.
Even as a child?
No, nothing.
That doesn't seem
what about
even possible.
As a preteen?
wait, that one? Nope. I didn't have that either. Yeah.
Okay.
Still none.
Allie, you never had your wisdom teeth, though?
No, I've got all four wisdom teeth right now. And only recently in the past year have I felt like there's a little bit of crowding. So this is the first time that I've thought, ooh, because they all grew in perfect.
That's amazing. That's very rare.
Look at you.
That's
a humble brag.
Just for the record, you are talking about wisdom teeth also. I thought we just meant like no.
No, I'm talking about total numbers.
I had those removed.
You had wisdom teeth.
Four, yeah.
Wow.
Like a regular person.
Yes, like a normal like a human being.
Like a human, yeah.
Okay.
Allie, all four of yours just grew in fine, huh?
Grew in fine, and every dentist I've ever gone to has gone, wow, that's a lot of teeth in your mouth. I'm like, thank you.
And every boyfriend, too.
No.
How about you, Kevin?
You might misunderstand that.
You winced a little bit.
My mouth is a wonderland for dentists, unfortunately.
Oh, I love that
Your
John
whole body
Mayer
is
song.
A wonderland.
It's my favorite John Mayer song.
I mean, I've had my wisdom teeth out. Like, when I grew up, like, a tooth was just didn't come in.
Uh-huh.
So I had to have braces to kind of move my teeth around to cover the fact that there wasn't one there that was supposed to be there.
How rude.
I don't know. It was a mess. I'm a mess.
Wow.
Well, they look fine now.
Thanks.
I had my wisdom teeth out also, and I also had too many teeth in my mouth and had to have an additional four teeth pulled.
You're like a shark.
You had four teeth
too
many?
Yes, I had four teeth too many. just extras that they had to pull. Wow.
Were they like growing out of like the top gum?
No, or? They were growing in order.
Wow.
But that's fine at a certain age, but then they get too big and then they would have started crossing.
So they just have to pull them and they're not doing anything else to your mouth. They're just pulling those teeth that are getting in the way.
Yes. And then the other ones just grow normal size. Right.
Wow.
And I had an additional tooth pulled at some other point that had a root canal, bad root canal problem that didn't work or something. And they had to pull it and just replace it with an implant or something like that. So I've had 9 pulled altogether. Mm,
wow. That's a lot of teeth.
And I say all that to say all this. This story that came out last night of this boy in India, 7 years old, Ravindran is his name, had been in pain for some time. In fact, he started complaining of pain at around 3, but he refused to let his parents take him to the dentist. I don't know whether he was afraid of the dentist.
At 3?
How he even knew about the dentist.
What does he even know about the dentist?
He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He just said, no, it's not that bad, it's fine. However, a 3-year-old Indian boy says that. Well, it got to the point where his suffering became severe and his jaw started to swell. So his parents decided, well, we better have him looked at. His dad is named Parbu. His mom is named Rajakumari. They're 40 and 33. Their fear was that he had cancer in his jaw. I don't know why they thought that. Maybe they went to WebMD.
Yeah.
But they took him to the Savitha Dental College in Chennai in southern India. They did a CT scan and an X-ray of the boy, and they found a large lesion in his mouth that was filled with...
Oh, don't be gross.
What do you mean?
Filled with...
526 teeth.
Wait.
What? Like in a bag?
Wait.
Yes.
Wait.
526 teeth were removed from the 7-year-old boy's mouth.
Wait, where were they?
That's not possible.
They were in a bag.
What do you mean they're in a bag?
Like a lesion, like a big, like a growth.
Yeah, because they can't be placed, right?
Right.
They can't be, there's no room for placement, but there is room for like a pocket.
That's right. It was a 5-inch bag-like mass.
How many?
526.
Not possible.
Excellent.
I'm looking at pictures of hundreds of them right now.
Wow. They had to be just little slivers.
Some of them were. Many of them are full-size or half-size teeth.
No.
Where did these come from?
He's a teeth machine, this kid.
A surgery was soon performed to remove the sac. It took doctors 5 long hours of meticulous searching to remove all the minute teeth from the opened bag-like specimen. Pathologists at the hospital say the sac was reminiscent of pearls of an oyster.
Same.
Yeah.
It is the first ever case documented in the world where an individual has been found to have so many teeth. 526.
I can't even see how that's physically possible.
I don't,
how that many would fit in there. You would ask me, I would say 15, 20 tops would fit. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they were small, medium, and large. I can send you pictures, but
I'm telling you. I'll take your word for it.
Some of them were small, but they were all had the properties of teeth.
It's Bean's new phone wallpaper.
So anyway, he's apparently fine now.
And, oh, my God.
And feeling much better, but I don't feel so bad about my 9 now. After this kid.
500 and how many?
26.
Good God.
Yeah. Right.
He's got to feel so much better.
You've got to be done, doctor. On 399, give me some time.
And I have to ask, I mean, the tooth fairy is going to bankrupt his family.
Oh, yeah. That's trouble.
I mean, what's going to happen? What's the payout there?
That's a valid question.
Do you think it was removed one by one, or do you think he removed the full bag and just let them all out? You know what I mean? Like, just open the bag and put them all out, like coins.
It was 5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours of meticulous searching to remove all the teeth. So it sounds to me like they pulled them out one by one.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Like tweezers and a magnifying glass or something.
Me likey.
Oh, no. Why would you like that?
Well, that's not the way to start a show.
But now we've got the worst part behind us.
But do we have to have the worst part?
We do.
Okay.
Am I still on the show?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Yes! Yeah! Dominated!
Brett Gelman will be in studio.
Woohoo!
Oh, man.
Talking about Things 3 and Fleabag, both.
Having a summer.
Dr. Drew?
Having a career, man.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew's going to be on the show, and we're going to ask him about Allie's water silo. Mm-hmm. Just exactly how much you're supposed to drink. And how much is too little, how much is too much.
How far behind the rock I am. He has 4 of these a day.
But do you need to catch up? I don't know that that's safe.
4 gallons a day.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not a doctor, that can't be healthy.
No.
No,
that's too much.
It
too
seems
much.
Like too much water.
I would say, though, doesn't it depend on how much you sweat? Let's call Dr. Muggs in. Oh, wait, we'll get to Dr. Drew later.
Dr. Drew is now our second opinion on the show, by the way. We go to Muggs first, and then just to back it up, we go to Drew.
Jensen has get up on this.
Yes.
You love movies that no one's heard of. So excited to introduce you to mine.
Whew. Are you? Oh. You said it was the best movie ever.
Yep.
Which strikes me as weird that no one's ever heard of it if it really is the best movie ever.
It's not necessarily for you, Bean.
Mm. Okay. Is it for anyone?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And you've never driven in Los Angeles. We were talking about the J-Lo story yesterday.
Yeah, it's
bizarre.
Hasn't
driven since she got her license.
Yeah, she said... I watched more stuff, and J-Lo was saying it's been 25 years. It's just, it's cuckoo.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Plus your tickets to Disneyland as well coming up this morning. We'll take a break. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
What's happening, Allie? What's happening, Allie McKay? Mm. What's happening today, Allie McKay? What's happening today? Yeah. I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
It's all yours, Allie.
What's going on? What is going on, Cool House? We need to have a serious sit down. You make amazing ice cream.
Yes.
We love you.
You have my attention.
California-based ice cream company Cool House has teamed up with America's leading mustard brand, French's, collaborating and creating a mustard-flavored ice cream.
Yay!
Stop cheering, kids.
That's an abomination.
Kids? What are they doing?
Holy crap.
It's going to be served starting next week, the week of August 3rd, which is also National Mustard Day.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm. What a horror. Why?
Here's the thing. It's not just us suffering here in California. People in New York can try the strange limited run concoction for free. Oh, really? You're not going to charge them? At Rockefeller Center and Columbus Circle on August 1st. And then, just to make it easy for everyone else who's not in California or New York... Mm-hmm. They're going to share the recipe for the dessert on their website. By the way, prep time, just 5 minutes, according to instructions.
Yeah, and add mustard to ice cream. That's not even 5 minutes.
And requires only a quarter cup of mustard. You're right. Is it going to be have vanilla ice cream, squirt mustard on it, just stir it up a little bit?
King of Mexico, you are in for mustard ice cream. How come?
Hell yeah, it's ice cream and mustard, two of my favorites. And it comes out tomorrow, so I'll be at Cool House.
Gross.
That sounds terrible.
Even the way he said it.
But lots of things are tasty. You know, people like steak. That doesn't mean there needs to be a steak ice cream, right?
Right.
Not everything has to be an ice cream. Well, I love mustard.
You can have mustard on the side. This is an abomination, what you're talking about right now.
I'm going to dip my fries in it. Get some fries, dip it in. Yum.
He's dipping fries in ice cream.
Yeah. I don't love
it. That's a strange choice.
Imagine being at an ice cream parlor, a dude eating vanilla ice cream, and next to it, another small bucket of mustard. And every bite, he does one of each.
Mm-mm.
That's what they're saying.
Who's coming with me?
No one.
Zero people.
Ugh. Wow.
Dave, you should go, as I have, to the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Yes.
I bet it's a blowout there tomorrow. I bet they're going to be, it's going to be a all weekend long party.
Sure. You know how they party there. Wow. The Mustard Museum.
Mustard Museum is awesome,
right?
By the way.
Sure.
They have over 5,000 mustards on display.
That's amazing.
And no friends. 5,000 mustards, no friends.
On display, he said.
Yes, it's a museum.
Like we expected it to be mustard that you just ate.
Yeah, true.
Oh, disgusting. What is happening, you guys?
I don't think we need it, but...
Bean, at some point, I would like you to try to make a master list of all the ridiculous
museums.
Mm-hmm. And roadside attractions.
Yes. Landmarks.
And the world's largest, world's smallest.
Yeah.
Please.
You've seen it all.
But
and most of it's crap.
Unfortunately, the list would be very short because you asked for ridiculous ones, and I've only been to awesome ones.
Okay, let's make the list awesome. Rephrase it. Yeah.
Let's make the list the awesome ones.
I mean, I've seen it. Look, there's plenty more to see. Plenty more I haven't seen yet.
I don't think there is. I think you've seen everything.
My brother was traveling across country this week, and I got to find the text real quick. He sent me a picture. He was in Kansas at the world's largest golf tee in Casey, Kansas. And he was trying to burn me with that. And I'm like, I've totally been to the world's largest golf tee. And by the way, not far from there is the world's largest pitchfork. So don't miss that while you're nearby.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been to both.
Not yet.
We need a full list because
I couldn't provide a full list.
You could really try.
I've been going forever though.
This is my thing. That you know what that is. It's a big T.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So however long it takes you to get there, if it costs to get whatever,
right?
It's a waste of time because you're going to go. Yep. You know what that is?
It's not a waste of time.
That's a big tee.
It's the world's largest golf tee.
And you know how much he loves golf.
Right. That's not the point.
He's a golfer.
Perfect sense.
Look, you don't have to be a hiker to appreciate the tallest mountain in the world. Right?
Yeah, but at least you can climb
great
it.
Great correlation.
The tee, it's not like you can hit a golf ball off
it. No, but it's still there. Most people aren't going to climb Mount Everest.
If the world's largest tee had the world's largest golf ball on it, now I'm in.
Mm-hmm. I don't know
where. I could use the world's largest club.
I don't know where the world's largest golf ball is. I got to look that up.
Okay.
Wow. Sounds like a road trip.
Yeah. I wish I could see them all.
Bean had information at the ready about the Mustard Museum.
Yeah. Because Dave just put up a picture, Jensen. Do you see it? He has the postcard still in his office that I sent him from the National Mustard Museum when I went there.
Hmm. All right.
This is real sad.
Cool House, stop doing what you're doing.
When Kevin is turning on Cool House, you know that the
ice
world
cream is my jam, man.
Right. And right. You don't like mustard? Are you the non-mustard guy?
I despise mustard.
So this wasn't going to work for you at all?
No.
What about a ketchup?
No, I love ketchup and no.
Okay.
Ice cream is ice cream.
Okay.
Let's just let it be that way.
Well, but you can put other things in ice cream as long as they're sweet things. You just don't want any. Okay.
But there's savory things too,
like
right?
Salted caramel.
Not a huge fan, but okay. Mm-hmm. I can accept
You'll allow it.
What about bacon?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about pork chop?
Pork chop ice cream?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not a thing that I know of.
Also, when I looked up the world's largest golf ball for you,
yes,
I did find a website, but that website obviously does not have the facts it needs because it just says, maybe the world's biggest golf ball.
Maybe.
It's in Tuckertown, Bermuda.
Oh, no wonder I haven't seen it. Okay.
Yeah.
We were in Bermuda. I don't know if you remember, Bean.
Yeah, we didn't know about
that. Didn't know about it.
That was pre-internet, so how would we have known about it?
So when Bean got run over by a truck on a scooter.
Oh, yeah.
I sure did.
And we were bald. That's where those pictures came from.
Yep.
Okay, back to you, Allie.
Bermuda had everything.
Yeah, I did come back with a broken foot.
A broken foot and a shaved head.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, my girlfriend of 2 weeks was not impressed.
No?
No.
90s were a weird time, huh?
He got hit by a truck. He went to the hospital. All of this happened like overnight. And the next morning, we were supposed to meet at the airport. And I walked up at the airport, and he was just sitting there in a wheelchair, like the saddest puppy you've ever seen in your life. Like he had his head bowed down, and his leg was in a cast, and he had his arm in a bandage, and he had a bald head with a cowboy hat.
What a time.
That was the best.
And we were getting on like a 11-hour flight.
Yes. 6'6" guy with a broken foot and coach coming back from Bermuda.
Right.
How long did you guys spend there?
A couple days.
Wow.
Radio was strange, man.
We made some poor choices, is what I'm saying.
Trying to solve the Bermuda Triangle, Jeff. That's
right. No, I figured.
We wanted to go out into the ocean and yell at whatever was out there.
We did that.
The whole point of it.
Yeah, and then we looked for the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And we had weapons, and we shot them into the lake. Back to you.
Good Lord. All right, we'll unpack that later. Some birthdays for you. We've got a couple amazing rappers, Chuck D and Coolio.
Yeah, no.
There you go.
Coolio's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Momoa. Sam Mendes, director and singer for the Counting Crows. Just talking about them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
August and Everything After. Still my jam. I love that album so much. Adam Duritz.
Thursday means Jensen gets up on this. That's coming up just after 7. Dr. Drew on the program today. Jeremy Renner, the actor, is now a singer.
No, he's singer first now. That's just what
singer first.
First, yeah. Hawkeye is in the past.
We'll get into that. And actor-comedian Brett Gelman, it's all coming up. That is that's a lot of show.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost too much for one. We should have spread this out a little bit.
We pay very close attention to movies, TV shows. So occasionally somebody will mention a movie that they love, and we're all amazed that we have never heard of it.
Gosh, I love movies.
I want a good movie. How can you love a movie that I've never heard of, and I pay pretty close attention to movies?
Yeah, you see a lot.
Yeah.
Because you only go to movies with lots of louds, Kevin. That's why.
I mean, that's possible. And horror movies, both. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, Allie, you started talking about this yesterday. How did it come up?
It came up. We were talking about Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, have you guys ever seen him? He was in a movie, Sleep With Me. It came out 2004. It was Eric Stoltz.
And we rejected Meg Tilly. That
and everyone's
existed.
Like, that movie existed.
Doesn't exist.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
but
made that up.
It has one of the funniest scenes about Top Gun. You'll have to watch it. It's amazing.
If it existed.
It does exist. But that got us talking about movies that we absolutely adore that people don't believe are real. That was what sparked it, and it is real, and look it up. But a movie that I talk about often on the show, and thank God that the writer and director of this movie has now come into his own, Taika Waititi. He's done Thor, Ragnarok, What We Do in the Shadows. The guy is a absolute stud. But back in 2007, I saw this little movie at Sundance about this video game worker named Jared and this sweet girl that worked in a fast food place named Lily. And the whole movie is about his character, Jemaine Clement, who is amazing. Movies out of New Zealand, in case you didn't get that, with Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, who you know from Flight of the Conchords, Moana, What We Do in the Shadows, all of that.
Being you're right, this doesn't have louds.
The whole point of this movie is he wants to go back to the bully that bullied him, and he's been training, and he's going to challenge him to a fight. This is what's happening. Justice is coming, is the whole thing. It's the most delightful, wonderful movie.
And what's it called?
It's one of my favorites. It's called Eagle versus Shark.
Okay.
And this is a clip of Jemaine Clement's character calling up his absolute nemesis's house. And it doesn't go well.
Hey, biatch.
Hello? Who's this?
Sorry, hi, is Eric there, please?
No, he's not back till later tonight. We're going to the airport, we got a minivan. You want to come?
No, thanks.
Okay. Okay, you want to leave a message for him?
Yes. Could you tell him that justice is waiting for him?
He's waiting for you. Okay, Justin, thank you, bye-bye.
No, justice.
I'm going to tell you, that clip got me. I did.
It is so funny. It is so ridiculous. And it is so beautiful.
I'm going to eat it.
It's Eagle versus Shark.
It's
you
not
need
eat
to
it, beat
see it.
It. It's not okay.
Sorry,
sorry.
Eat it, eat it, eat it. It's amazing. Rent it.
Okay.
Where you rent videos.
All right.
Mine's a little more loud.
Okay, good.
Okay.
The movie is called Cube. It is a Canadian science fiction horror escape movie.
That's all me.
It was released in 1997. It follows a group of strangers who wake up together in just a cube-shaped room. They don't know how they got there. They have no recollection of...
Is there no out?
Well, that's what you figure out.
Oh, okay.
They realize the goal is to move room to room in hopes of finding an exit. They also figure out that some of the rooms are booby-trapped and rigged with various traps to kill them.
Oh.
And the only thing they notice is that some of the rooms have a number on them. You know, it's obviously been engineered and manufactured. So they have to realize how to get out. The movie was made well before the concept of escape rooms, but if you're a fan of those, you'll clearly love the movie. Mathematics comes into play, and so does the history of sort of each of the captives. If you feel it has a Twilight Zone feeling, that's for good reason.
Okay.
Because it's kind of based originally on the classic episode, Five Characters in Search of an Exit, one of my favorite Twilight Zones. The cube is awesome. The movie and the actual cube itself, because it all architecturally was built and figured out so that it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they spent actual time on the science of the cube. And they go, you know, they only filmed in one cube. They only made...
That's the whole movie.
Well, the whole movie is in basically different cubes.
Yeah.
But they only filmed in one of them and just changed out the lights and stuff to make it look different. So it's in the vein of, like, a Rope or Rear Window, you know, like, where there's only one setting. It's an awesome sci-fi. There are two sequels. Don't see those. Those are bad. It has a huge cult fan base, all unknown actors. This is a small clip. It's obviously a pretty visual movie, but this is a small clip from the trailer.
Does anybody remember how they got here?
Why would they throw innocent people in here? Are we being punished?
There's a way in here, so there's got to be a way out.
Do you think they'd go to all the trouble to build this thing if we could just walk out?
Take a good long look around. But I got a feeling it's looking at us.
We have about 3 days without food and water before we're too weak to move.
I just want to wake up.
Room down there, and something almost cut my head off.
Motion detectors integrated into the walls.
In.
Also, there are some Mortal Kombat-style gory deaths in it.
And that's so, still does in. Cube rap in it at all, or
no,
is he just
not,
acting?
No, Ice Cube's not in the movie.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, that's the name of the movie, and it's kind of the basis, but Ice Cube not in it.
Okay.
Okay.
We are talking about movies that you love that no one's ever heard of. These might be recommendations if you're scrolling around one night looking for something new to watch or out of everything else. Mine is a holiday tradition in my house. For many, many years, Donna and I, every Thanksgiving, have put on a movie called House of Yes. Anyone ever seen it?
No, I know.
No.
Is it written by Mamet?
I don't know who wrote it, but I do know that it's the greatest thing Parker Posey has ever done.
Oh, love her.
And that is saying something. It is a phenomenal role for her. And you're going to not believe me when I tell you that Tori Spelling is in this movie. And this movie was only made because it was financed by her father. But she is terrific in it. She is the fiance who comes home to a very weird family's house for Thanksgiving 1983. And what you find out is that the twins, the brother and the sister's played by Parker Posey, the brother is Josh Hamilton, have a very incestual relationship.
What? I have seen this movie.
And this you watch every Thanksgiving?
Yes, we watch it because it's set at Thanksgiving, and it is, I mean, it's a black comedy, but it's also a horror movie, but it's also really, really funny, and maybe it could be Mamet, Jensen.
No, it's not. But it's crazy, though.
The dialogue is like, crazy, whip-smart fast, and you'll hear in this clip if this is your kind of comedy or not. I love it. This is, you'll hear the first two voices are Parker Posey and her brother played by Josh Hamilton, and she has just brought him an ice cube.
Isn't that the prettiest ice cube you've ever seen?
It used to be bigger.
I wonder what happened.
Whatever it was, it happened just between the kitchen and here.
Look, Marty, your hands are all wet. Now, there's a clue.
It probably melted on the way.
All right, that's Tori Spelling.
What? Would you like a glass of Liebermilch?
No, thank you. I'll just have a glass of wine.
What's the name of the wine?
Oh, I don't speak French.
Who does?
You do.
Oh, that's right, I do.
So, what does that name mean?
In French? I think it means something German.
Oh.
It means loving mother's milk.
You speak French?
No. German.
I mean, that's the kind of dialogue you get in the movie.
And I'll
say one other thing is that the brother and sister, every year at Thanksgiving, they reenact the Kennedy assassination, where he plays President Kennedy and she plays Jackie O. I mean, it's an out there movie, but I love it. Again, if you want to check it out, it's called House of Yes.
Only Bean would pick a movie that was nominated for a Razzie.
I'm not positive that mine wouldn't have been. Okay. Mine is Black Sheep.
Oh, yeah.
But not the Black Sheep I'm thinking of.
Not Chris Farley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is Black Sheep. It's a experiment in genetic engineering that turns sheep into bloodthirsty killers who terrorize a New Zealand farm.
Oh, New Zealand again.
They are zombie mother-effing sheep.
Miles from civilization.
I have a dream for the future.
A secret experiment has given birth to a new breed of fear.
Oh, my Lord!
Is something wrong with the sheep?
Oh, God, no.
Get ready for the violence of the lambs. Black Sheep.
It is so wonderful.
Is it as good as the trailer?
Yes.
I mean, Violence of the Lambs. Come on.
That's great.
Because whoever wrote that at Oscar.
Because they know what they're doing, and they know they're making a cheesy movie, and they go all out.
How did
it's
you stumble?
Ridiculous.
What did you, how do you stumble on Black Sheep?
I don't know.
Oof.
I have maybe friends that told me about it or something. I do have one clip. This is a guy in the front of a truck in the cab, mm-hmm. and he's fighting with a sheep, and he keeps punching the sheep in the face. The sheep doesn't care because it's a zombie.
It's a zombie.
So he can take it all.
Yeah.
And then the guy gets out of the cab of the truck, and the truck keeps going, and that's where this clip picks up. The sheep is driving the truck! Later, the guy takes off his boot where he got bit. He's got a full hoof.
Oh!
How did this miss Oscar season?
Best movie ever. It's called Black Sheep.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Get up on this with Jensen Karp coming up just after 7. Allie's here now. Time for What's Happening on a Thursday.
What's going on?
Well, after months of teasing the title of her sixth studio album, Lana Del Rey has revealed the release date, the track list, and album art for the record. The album includes previously released tracks like Venice Bitch, Due in Time, and Hope is a Dangerous Thing for Women Like Me to Have, But I Have It. That's a long, long title right there.
Pretty wordy.
The album Norman Effing Rockwell will be released on August 30th.
I love everything about this.
I know you do.
I like every one of these songs she's released so far, the videos she's released so far. I can't wait. And now we're into August, so it's right around the corner.
Did you really enjoy Hope is a Dangerous Thing for Women Like Me to Have, But I Have It?
I don't know that I've heard that one yet.
I feel like you'd know because that
probably
is
would.
A really long title. You guys, I love this story so very much. Because, you know, I have a weird love for Kelly Clarkson. I just think she's such a love bug.
Doesn't everybody?
I think so, but I just think she's such a love bug. Her new talk show, The Kelly Clarkson Show, debuting September 9th. Not many people all pumped for it, but I was like, what?
She's got a point. She's an icon.
Yes.
She's a legend.
True.
And she is the moment.
Agreed.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
But when they were doing like little shot, like pre-shoots of the thing, and they're like, she just sits on a hail bay and everything looks like really crafty. And people were like, oh, and I'm like, that sounds great. I just love Kelly Clarkson. But Bean, get ready to love her even more because I know you like her. She is hosting a pet adoption TV special called Clear the Shelters.
Aww.
The special is a companion to the pet adoption campaign of the same name supported by NBC TV stations nationwide. So on August 17th, thousands of rescue shelters will reduce or waive their adoption fees to encourage people to give a pet their forever home.
That's an incredible bit.
Like one of the dogs, you mean?
Yeah, probably.
It's going to be a lot of amazing dogs.
Yeah. So she is to NBC what Cat Corbett is to K-Rock.
Essentially, yes.
Yes.
But here's the part that I didn't know, and now I'm like, oh, of course she did. She used to own a rescue ranch in Texas where she kept more than 80 rescue animals, 30 dogs, 14 horses, goats, pigs, and ponies.
Oh, and she ate them?
Oh, my God. What?
Wow, that was a...
No, what? Was just, that was a full
service.
Pivot.
That was a full service joke right there. A lot of packed in there.
Good Lord.
Calling her fat at the same time.
She was growing her own food. I mean, no,
wow.
I wasn't thinking fat at all, by the way.
Yum, give me some of that.
She ate all of them?
No, I was just saying, was she raising them for food?
Geez, that's what I was asking.
I
don't know why Kevin even thought that.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I've been trying to ease you into this news.
Okay.
Woodstock 50 is officially canceled, you guys.
No!
The hell?
Sad bassoon,
indeed. I already had my tickets. I was going to go to whatever state I ended up having it to see whoever was ended up on the bill.
What am I going to do with all these Woodstock 50 shirts I made?
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was supposed to be August 16th through the 18th. They moved
it
down
solid.
To Baltimore.
Everything was coming
good.
Together.
Yeah. It's real sad, but here's the quote. We are saddened that a series of unforeseen setbacks has made it impossible to put on the festival we imagined with the lineup we had booked and the social engagement we were anticipating. Michael Lang, who's the co-founder of the original Woodstock Festival, then went on to ask the artists and agents who've already been paid performance fees to donate 10% of the money to either a charity called Headcount or a cause of their choice.
Nope.
In the spirit of peace.
Just keep it. Don't do that.
How, like a holding fee, right?
Yeah,
they don't pay them the whole,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's sad. So, no Jay-Z, no Imagine Dragons, no Killers, no Janelle Monáe.
But it's going to be free.
Dead and Company. No, see, it's officially canceled.
Free.
There's nothing.
Oh.
That's sad.
It is pretty sad.
I really felt like that was going to come together at the last minute.
Did you?
Yeah.
I did like a tweet that I saw. They said, wow, at least they solidified a way to make it better than Woodstock 99.
Just not do it?
Just not
cancel
do
it.
I do have some ideas for this that we might go over in the 9 o'clock hour. So.
Oh, great.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
That's good news.
You mean a way to save it?
Or, you know, kind of fill the void.
Okay.
Okay. I'm thinking tomorrow they're going to be like, it's back on, but with puppets. And if that's the case, book that flight. Mama's
coming.
Like,
I feel like I'm back in.
Same yeah. artist, but puppets.
Yes. I feel bad now. Yesterday, Bean said he was kind of rooting for him. Uh-huh. I think I'm on Team Bean now. I sort of feel bad now.
What about...
That guy was the little engine that could. It was an impossible dream.
But he couldn't at all.
He couldn't at all.
No. What about, though, full-blown puppet show with just recordings of who was supposed to be there? Right?
So a puppet Jay-Z? In.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
In. With Jay-Z music? In.
How do we do this?
How do we do this?
How do we do
we steal Woodstock 50 from him?
Yes.
Puppet Woodstock?
I mean, we've got enough people here, just Henson alone, that mm-hmm. could put on a puppet Woodstock.
Got about a couple weeks, right?
We've got until August 16th through 18th.
Maybe we make it the 51st.
Let's make it a one day so we can really nail it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and we'll just pick whichever artists we want. Mm-hmm. I think we'll want Jay-Z.
That's a good one.
We'll need Dead & Company.
I'll take a Miley Cyrus puppet.
Miley Cyrus, The Killers, we'll need. Robert Plant, right? With the hair and the
sure.
juice running
Some
down
Some puppets
his
we
leg.
Can just change out the wigs. Like Robert Plant, we could just give him James Taylor hair.
Oh, see, now you're already...
I'm trying
like,
to save money.
Yeah, what are you
we
doing?
We can't start cutting quarters yet, man.
Come on, man.
This has to be top flight.
All right.
I'm not going to claim credit for this, but finger on the button girl Casey says, wouldn't it then be called Woodsock?
I don't hate it, Casey.
Okay.
I don't hate it.
I hate this jokes. Lit. I hate all jokes like that, and uh-huh. it was pretty good.
Okay, good. All right.
That wasn't bad.
Well, let's take a break and really...
Flesh it out.
Flesh it out. Let's do it. Some birthdays for you. Chuck D., Jason Momoa, Sam Mendes, Adam Duritz, and Coolio.
I love fat asses. I'm an ass man. I've been talking about all day, but I like ass. I like a nice round behind. How about that? Yeah.
Thanks, Coolio.
How about that?
Actor-comedian Brett Gelman on the program later on today. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky, because it's Thursday, we'll talk to him about the obscene amount of water that Allie is drinking these days.
Come on, man.
Or is it obscene at all?
Yeah, should
maybe
you
Maybe we should all be drinking.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
It is water disgusting. Intoxication, right, man. I'm here. Telling you, you're going to drown. I don't know how it works, but you're going to drown.
Okay, all right.
That's all coming up. First, though, a little after 7 on Thursday, what does that usually mean? It means Jensen is here with Get Up On This.
Get up. Get on up. On this. Get up.
Oh, hi. This week, I'm excited to get you up on someone who I think is the most exciting and original and promising comedians of the past decade.
No, no kidding. Wow, that's a big sell.
This someone has currently two projects at HBO that will most definitely end up being on most of our favorite TV lists of the year. This comedian's name, Julio Torres. He
crowd loves him.
Is awesome. The now 32-year-old is over the past few years has been working at SNL as a writer. He's created some of the more standout melodramatic digital shorts that make almost little to no sense. Like when they happen, you're like, "Who? What?
Is that SNL?" What is that?
One of them is Melania Moments, which I know everyone liked. It was like showing Melania as a prisoner.
That's right. Looking scary out the White House window and having thoughts.
And
yes.
That was his. That was really some of the only digital short highlights for me over the past few years. At 22 years old, Julio immigrated to the United States from El Salvador, where his family still lives.
Better be legally.
Oh, whoa. Who was that guy? His immigrant background is so insanely rare in comedy. Like, I can't even really think of anyone else who's done that at least in 10 years. And to have him be one of the new original voices of American TV is truly incredible. He gets a lot of his inspiration from 70s surrealist comedians like Robin Williams, obviously from the Mork era, Steve Martin, Andy Kaufman, even a little bit of Pee Wee Herman in there. He's fully committed and willing to do major risks, which is what caught the eye of Fred Armisen. He said he used to watch SNL and all the skits he liked, he'd call in and say, "Who wrote that?" And he'd get the same answer every time. Julio Torres. So, as a result, he approached Torres with an idea for a show that is now a hilarious HBO weekly program that just wrapped up called Los Espookies.
Yay!
It is the network's first primarily Spanish show, and I kind of see it as a Gen Z Ghostbusters. Los Espookies follows a group of Mexican horror enthusiasts who start a business creating spooky scenes and situations for clients in need. Like, for example, a priest who needs to stage a fake exorcism to get more clout in his church. Or they create a sea monster for a mayor who wants to boost tourism in her small town. Bean, how good is this show?
It's one of my favorite shows of the year, for sure. It's hilarious.
We know we can't get Kevin because it is subtitled.
Oh, no, I saw it and looked good and recorded it. Just okay, haven't good. Watched it yet, but all I right. have recorded it, yeah.
Torres plays Andres, the blue-haired heir to a chocolate empire. The show is so tightly written by Torres and Anna Fabrega, who came up with the Torres in the New York comedy scene and now also stars and writes the show with him. It's hilarious and strange and mysterious and unlike anything else on TV. It is a mix of 30 Rock, Twin Peaks, and like a telenovela. Is that a good breakdown?
Yes, that's about right.
That's a hell of a mix.
Allie, will you watch this, or can you not read and watch TV at the same time?
I've watched two of them. And very funny. Enjoy it. I need to talk to Dr. Drew about ADD. I literally, to have to sit and read and not be able to look away for a second or glance. It got to the point I moved my computer, moved my phone so I could concentrate. I was then twitching. Things were happening.
You need to be medicated.
Subtitles are not for me.
Well, you're missing out. Julio's aesthetic as a person, I could only say is a crystal. Like one of those crystals you buy to...
What, Marianne Williamson? No, are you talking about?
He has that kind of vibe, but also a futuristic feeling. It's a very weird guy. When you see him, you'll know. All the episodes are currently available to watch on HBO Go or on demand or whatever it is. They get full approval from me and Bean. Now, if you like that, which you will, HBO loves Julio so much that they gave him a stand-up special called My Favorite Shapes. But like everything Torres does, he could not take a normal approach to a stand-up special. This was taped in Brooklyn. Torres stands on a futuristic-looking set, almost Star Trek-looking. He's wearing a flashy silver jacket, which he's known for, and he sits in front of a conveyor belt. And throughout the whole stand-up special, objects come to him throughout the whole time. He picks them out, and then he riffs on those objects.
Oh, what? My.
That is the entire special, and it is genius. Again, much like a Spookies, it's unlike anything you've ever seen before. Since the special is mostly visual, let's listen to some of Julio's older stand-up. This is from an old appearance on a late-night show.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that I was very underweight. And I was like, stop it. Shut up. You're underweight. He wasn't. He was just like an average-sized doctor. But I figured he was being so nice that I should just throw him a little something.
He is so dry, so strange. It airs for the first time August 10th at 10:30 and on HBO Go and HBO Now earlier that night. Again, his name is Julio Torres, and you need to get up on his show Los Spookies immediately, where the whole first season is available on HBO, and his upcoming comedy special, My Favorite Shapes, debuting August 10th. This is another get-up on of an immigrant here legally who made their way to the United States is contributing genius to American culture. Julio Torres, that's my get-up on this. Bye!
Get up, get on up,
on this!
Get up, get on up,
on this!
Get up, get on up,
on this!
Get up, get on up!
Muse is a little dramatic, aren't they?
Muse? Yeah.
Yeah, a little dramatic.
Love it.
Okay.
You're saying they could tone it down?
I'm just saying.
No, love it. Don't tone that down.
Okay. Right. I'm just... Okay. Hey, your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Disneyland Resort. That's the happiest place on earth, you guys. Coming up this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. In fact, we'll have them for you next hour along with comedian Brett Gelman. That's all on the way from K-Rock.
Allie, you did a story about J-Lo.
Yeah.
Would you mind catching us up on that?
Well, I did a story last week about A-Rod, her boyfriend, giving her this beautiful cherry red Porsche for her birthday. And we were like, well, what do you get J-Lo? She's got everything, whatever. But we were like, that's nice, cool for her, 50 years old, cool car, right?
May I interject and say, is there a better looking 50-year-old in the world?
She's a very attractive woman.
Okay.
I feel she's getting better.
He was talking about A-Rod, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's a very handsome man. Yeah. But then a story came out yesterday that said she hasn't driven for 25 years. Originally, it was she hasn't driven since she got her license. And then altogether, this is a bizarro story, but she's had drivers.
That's so all of us thought she must have had drivers the whole time.
Right. 25 years. So she got behind the wheel, and there's video that they posted to YouTube where she's like, let's see if I remember how to do this.
Why would A-Rod buy someone a car who doesn't drive?
Money? What do you get somebody that has everything and who knows?
Maybe they've had a conversation and she wanted to Maybe she's told him that. She wants
you,
to.
But do you spend $150,000 on a gift?
It's nothing to them, man. That's in, they got that in pocket change.
Yeah. No, I know. They're super, super rich. But do you, I don't understand. I mean, it would be like buying you a plane, Kevin. You're not a pilot.
You bought him
like,
a plane?
What are you going to do with it?
I've always wanted to be
so
a pilot.
Sweet.
Thank
you,
Pete.
30 years.
Sure,
look for it.
Beautiful gift.
I just it seems like a, I mean, it seems like a, not a thoughtful gift, I guess is what I'm saying.
My point is that that's not the point.
Okay.
We want to talk about people not driving.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Not whether that's a good gift or not.
I got hung up on the details. Okay. So she hasn't
so
driven in a long time.
So give us a call if you gave a gift that wasn't great. And what
that's
the reaction
actually
was.
Actually not the topic.
No?
Who's okay. A hotter 50-year-old than Jennifer Lopez?
Give us
call now.
1-800.
Nope. No. Not yet. Don't call on any of that yet. So.
Please call now.
Okay. So what you're saying, Allie, is that she... Even when she... Now, wait. How old would she have been when she was a fly girl? Because she surely had... She didn't have a driver back then when she was in Living Color days when her career was just starting out, right?
25 years ago, right?
Yeah, I haven't done the math on when she was a fly girl, but I doubt she had a driver when she was a fly girl.
So well, how did she get around?
You would think she got her license when she was 16, right? Like, that's... You sort of have to.
Well,
although I know kids who don't.
And if you live in New York, by the way,
yeah,
I bet you don't need to get your license until you have to drive.
And agreed,
yeah. Yeah, it could be older, yeah.
But she lived in Los Angeles for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how? Why? What?
I don't know how you do that.
I don't either.
Especially before
buses?
Uber. Before, I mean, imagine being just a person who has to depend on your friends or family for everywhere you go that's longer than a walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disaster.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Maybe she had a lot of siblings. I don't know her family, but...
Yeah, but they didn't move out here with her, do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe they did just a driver.
Oh, good point.
Jennifer moved to L.A. Right? Got to go with her.
All nine of us have to move next door.
Driver and shifts.
We have more questions than answers for you guys. So I think what we're looking for, I'm not sure what we're looking for, but
please,
I think...
Please, call now.
You can call now. But I think what we're looking for are people who don't drive, right?
Right.
People who can
someone
drive.
Someone.
People who can drive, but don't drive, I think is what we're looking
in
for.
Los Angeles,
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you have found a way in Los Angeles to live here without a car.
Mm-hmm.
Not because, like, I mean, no. I'm not saying, like, oh, I don't have the money, so I use the bus, or whatever it is. Like, you
we don't want to talk to the poor.
We don't want to talk to the poor people, is what Jensen's saying.
You love the
and
lifestyle.
I feel like he's being insensitive when he says that.
We don't want to listen to the... We don't want to hear from the poors right now. I just don't understand you. We can't relate to you.
No, because that makes sense.
Yeah.
We want... It doesn't make sense.
We want lifestyle decision.
Yes,
exactly. Yes.
You looked at a car in the face and said, nah.
You could drive, but you
Somebody call my mama.
You choose not your mom. You
can call
us
that mom if you want.
At 1-800-520-1067. So you have decided that your lifestyle should not include a car. Maybe it's for environmental reasons. Maybe it's because you just want that. You just don't want the hassle of trying to find a place to park.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like Los Angeles is a really rough city to do that in.
Yeah, I would
think
so.
So spread out, not great public transportation.
No. Right. All right. So I don't know how many listeners we have who do this. But let's find out. 1-800-520-1067. You choose not to drive, and how does J-Lo look so good at 50?
No course.
We didn't think this out fully because most people listen to us in a car, right?
I mean, that's actually
pretty accurate.
Quite
true.
Well, if you're listening at home.
Call now.
Or if you're a passenger.
You're a passenger.
In a car.
That makes sense.
This is not going well so far.
You're walking on the way to... a Subway?
Oh, no!
Do we have
Subway?
I don't Subway even, sandwich?
I don't... Are you on your way to the train?
You don't drive in Los Angeles. And it's by choice. 1-800-520...
And you're not poor.
I said by choice.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067.
You don't have to... You can't be poor.
We don't want
choice.
The poors.
Just saying.
All right, just out of no doubt, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Melissa from Ontario. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
First of all, you're not a poor, right?
No.
Okay, good.
Good.
All right, so we're talking about people who choose not to drive and they live in Southern California. How does it work? What's going on in your family?
Well, that would be my mother. Okay. She got in a car accident back when she lived in Mexico when she was a teenager and it caught on fire.
Oh, man.
So I guess, I guess that kind of traumatized her to drive, so she never learned how to drive when they came over to California. And then she figured, well, I have three daughters and a husband, like they can drive me around everywhere. So
And that's really fun for you guys.
Yeah. Especially now, because now my dad's in a cast and can't drive right now. So I'm the Uber.
Your family's a mess.
So, how many times a week do you think you have to drive mom? I mean, she may have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday and then needs to go grocery shopping on Friday. I mean, how often does it come up?
Like 4 times a week.
Oh, wow.
That's a job.
And I commute from Ontario to LA because I work in downtown LA.
So. You got
to
move away.
That means my life.
You got to really just cut the cord. I'm sorry.
You have to ghost your family.
Yeah, you got to go to the East Coast and not tell them.
Oh, Melissa, don't.
And Melissa, you might have to change your name too, just so it's harder for them to track you down.
But log off Facebook, everything. Get off social media.
So good luck everything with that. This is the last time we're going to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, take care, Donna or whatever.
Bye bye, Donna. 1-800-520-1067. You don't drive by choice. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Yeah, I think we already have people on hold. Thank you.
This could never be me, partly because I love to drive, by the way.
You do? You love road trips?
I love road trips.
Hate it.
But I will tell you, in New Orleans, I very rarely have to drive because almost everything is in walking distance. But it's also good to have a car on the occasions that you want to.
Oh, look at me.
Someplace.
I have a car, but I don't use it most times because I don't have to. What a humble brag.
That's ridiculous.
No, I'm just saying.
Stop being a dick, man.
No, what I'm saying
is. Not everybody lives like the 1%.
I need a car, is what I'm saying. And I think most people need a car if they live in a place certainly like Southern California. Listen to this from the 626. My mom has exclusively taken the bus in the San Gabriel Valley, LA area for the past 30 years. We've offered to get her a car, and she says she sees no need for it. I feel like it would be so much more convenient to have a car than to take the bus everywhere.
Yeah,
wouldn't
but
it?
If she's got some reason why she doesn't feel comfortable driving and she's fine taking the bus.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
fine. Yeah.
Then I hear that and I accept that. What do you do with Ben on line 4, University Park? Ben is 24. 24. Doesn't have a driver's license. Is that right, Ben?
Actually, it's 26.
26? You've been on hold 2 years.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
I've been home for a while.
Okay, you turn 16 and you can get a driver's license and you decide not to. And then you're 18 and then you're 20 and then you're 22. How come you haven't done it yet?
Mostly just because I have a fear of trusting myself behind the wheel. Secondly, I'm a little lazy, so I haven't made an effort to actually obtain a license.
How do you get around? Bus, friends, relatives?
I bum rides from friends, relatives. Since Uber and Lyft came out, I've been using that mostly too.
So say, for example, you need to just run an errand, like you need to go to the market or, I don't know, like a CVS or something. You take an Uber?
I either take an Uber, but since I'm like near USC, there's like a lot more convenient markets and stuff right here.
You can sort of walk.
Ben, you said you're afraid to get behind the wheel. Did you have a bad experience?
Yeah, I had a bad experience when I was a kid, but for lack of a better word, I get very distractible.
Oh.
So do I drive.
Yeah, not well, though.
Not well, no. We're not asking for people to drive well.
So, Ben, do you think this is your whole life? Do you think you'll just be one of those people who never, ever drives? Or do you think at some point you're just going to kind of face your fears and go for it?
I have been trying to. I have, like, my family and my friends have been, like, yelling at me and, cursing at me for not driving. And
sure. Yeah, they're sick of you, Ben.
Yeah, they are.
They want you to try.
I'm sick of you, too. So, so we'll say goodbye. But I'm glad Ben. You called, Ben.
Ben's 28 now, by the way.
He's 28. It's a weird disease. All right, let's go to Rich and Corona, line 1, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rich, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Thanks. What's up, party people?
Hello. You tell us.
Okay, So my mom retired from the DMV after almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have a driver's license.
Oh,
what?
Those
never
who can't.
She's right there.
Never got a driver's license.
No, never got a driver's license. My dad would drive her around, or still does, drive her around everywhere.
What
everywhere
sucker your dad is, right?
I guess it's like
she's... You know, she always told us she had this, like, inner ear thing where she, you know...
Like vertigo?
Balance. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, she's probably lying.
I don't know. I don't listen to my mom when she talks.
We secretly think that, you know, it's all BS, and she's just like, you know what?
She just likes being chauffeured.
She worked at the DMV getting people licenses for 30 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, but it's like she didn't want to bring her work home. You know what I mean?
You would think just one day, like during a slow period, like at lunch or something, she would go, you know what? I'm here. I'll just take the 10 minutes to get my own.
For one day, Dad would say, you work at the DMV.
It'd be funny. It'd be funny if you asked her, and she's like, "Honestly, the DMV sucks. Everyone who works there is awful.
Lines are so long. Yeah. I don't want to do it."
Hey, Rich, what do they have in the state of California for ID for people who don't drive? They have something comparable.
Yeah. It's just a California identification card. It looks like a driver's license, but it doesn't say driver's license. It just says California identification card.
Okay. All right. Because that would be another reason I would think you'd want to have a license, I guess, is for ID. But if they have something else, that's cool. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Johnny. He's up next, line six. He's in Inglewood. He's got a problem with his girlfriend on this issue.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're talking about people who live in Los Angeles and somehow don't drive.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I met my girl back in 08, and, you know, I picked her up a couple times, and then I asked her, I'm like, hey, do you drive? And she's like, I know how to drive, but I've never really got my license. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I didn't really think much of it. A couple of years go by, and I'm like, hey, you know, I always brought it up, and she's like, yeah, no, I'm good with the bus. You know, I've even gotten to arguments with her, and she just starts like, no, I don't care, I'll just take the bus, I don't need it, blah, blah, blah. Now we got a 10-year-old, and she takes him to the bus, and you know, I tell her, like, why don't you just take my car, get your license, take my car. I can get you whatever car you want, and, you know, you guys don't have to take the bus. And she just chooses not to. We've been together for 11 years now, and no. It's just
What do you think the reason is? Do you think she's afraid of driving?
You know what? No, because there, actually, no, I know she's not afraid of driving, because one time we went to a bar, and I got totally smashed, and I couldn't drive, and I was like, babe, you got to drive. And she's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, I can't drive. I'm too drunk. And we made it home safely. Hmm. So I know she can drive.
Hmm. Huh. Maybe she'll get a driver's license when you marry her. You ever think about that?
I even did that. I even offered it. I proposed to her and everything, and I was like, you think you're going to drive then? And she was like, no, that's not going to change anything.
Johnny, I don't want to put bad things in your head, but maybe the bus driver is smoking.
You know what? I've joked with her about that too. I'm like, oh, you just like the bus drivers, huh? You're like the different. I can't.
Johnny's on it because we all know.
Johnny's on top of it.
Dude, I'm on it about everything. It's funny. She's just like, oh no, she just laughs.
LA bus drivers known for their hot looks.
Take the bus driver.
Yeah, they're all models.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that Johnny is handling this very well and with a sense of humor.
I enjoy him, his girlfriend, and their son.
I do too. Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's make it Marla. She's on line seven. She's in the LBC. Hey, Marla, our final call on this topic. What's going on?
Hi guys, how are you today?
We are great.
Good. So my husband is 46 years old and he does not drive.
Oh. Has he never driven?
Never, ever. Oh. I mean, we've been together 26 years.
Okay.
Why? Why? Why?
That my footmobile can't take me.
So he walks.
He walks.
He'll walk, or he'll take the bus, or he never asks for a ride, but if you ask him, and he'll say yes, and he'll be like, no, I'm good with the bus.
Hmm. Huh. And what do you think the reason is? Because obviously that's very unusual, particularly in SoCal. What do you think's going on there?
I don't know. Sometimes he says, well, you know, I'm afraid, what if I hit somebody? And I'm like, well, what if I hit somebody? You know?
Yeah, he should be afraid for you.
Right?
Right.
But, yeah, he just doesn't, never wanted to, never cared about it, not important to him.
Wow.
I mean, and let me tell you, once you get married, he's not going to learn to drive, or the last caller, she's not going to learn to drive.
Yeah, you're not going to change him, right?
Yeah, this is just how that guy's girlfriend was, just how your husband is. I guess you just deal with it.
I don't really care. It bothers people more than it bothers me.
I'd like to say that I'm in favor of all of these people that don't drive, because we do not need more cars on the road.
That's true.
Good point,
the more
that
don't drive, the better. Mm-hmm. You're our hero.
But, you know, he says now he wants to be thinking about it, and I'm like, by this time, your insurance is going to be so high, dude. We can't even afford it.
He starts thinking about it, and she talks him out of it.
You're talking him out of it. Boy, some people just can't make happy.
Let's take a vote. Whoever wants Ellie to continue the story, raise your hand.
My hand's down. My hand's down.
Beans
my hand's
up. Way up.
Okay.
I think you might get in trouble.
That's not your hand.
Hey, Jeremy Renner is Hawkeye in the Avengers movies, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He also, well, you're never going to even remember him as an actor, because once you've heard him sing,
sure.
He's Jeremy Renner, the singer.
Sure.
So we'll be playing some of that for you coming up after the top of the hour. Also, Brett Gelman, comedian, actor, is going to be joining us next hour as well. We're super excited about that, from Stranger Things 3, Fleabag, and a million other things we love. First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, one of Bean's picks for That's My Jam was the band called The Bird and the Bees.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked a song off of their Van Halen cover album, which is called what? Masters Volume 2, a tribute to Van Halen?
Yes, they did a cover album of all Hall & Oates songs.
Which
yes.
I
By
love.
The way,
yeah.
They are also a terrific original band.
Yes,
they
have on plenty their own,
of,
amazing.
Right. And then I picked Hot for Teacher from their new Van Halen tribute album. That's right.
Wonderful. Well, they were the guest on The Late Late Show with James Corden, and they performed a cover of Van Halen's Ain't Talkin' About Love, but they had a pretty special guest that sat in on the drums. Oh, yeah, Dave Grohl.
You got to bleed for it, baby. I ain't talking about love. Baby, it's rotten to the core. I ain't talking about love. Just like I told you before. I ain't talking about love.
How is Dave Grohl always in the right place at the right time to do the fun things?
Always.
Imagine how embarrassing it would be if you had a rock band and Dave Grohl's never played drums for you. Like, that is right. One of the worst things that could happen to you in music.
He's never it's sat true. In with us. Yeah. This is BS.
Awful.
Ugh. Again, that is The Bird and the Bee, and they covered Van Halen's Ain't Talking About Love, which is off of their Interpreting the Masters Volume 2, a tribute to Van Halen. They are awesome.
They are very good.
So good. Do you guys remember back in April when I told you about Ariana Grande revealing that she was a humongous Jim Carrey fan? To
yeah.
the point where she said her first AIM username was Jim Carrey fan 42. And people were like, wait, what? And she talked about how he was just her absolute favorite actor. She looked up to him so much. It was like her first really big crush. And he responded to the tweet and was just lovely about it. And she was like, oh, my God, this is the greatest day of my life.
Ariana Grande?
No, Ariana Grande. Well, she has currently upped that greatest day of her life because she just wrapped filming on an appearance on Jim Carrey's Showtime series, Kidding.
Wow.
How great is that?
Great.
And if
wow.
you haven't watched Kidding, it's Jim Carrey essentially is a children's show host, a la Fred Rogers, that type of thing. Whose life is completely unraveling, and he's got to keep it together in front of the camera, and it's just, it is such a wonderful show on Showtime. It's unbelievable.
I think that was the big, the biggest of all the snubs in the Emmy nominations
yeah.
was Jim Carrey not getting nominated for his character.
Just fantastic.
Yeah,
but,
it was great.
She wound up posting a picture and was just gushing about him. I've been staring at the screen. No words do this moment justice. Thankful for the most special experience of my life. Nothing is crazier than getting to work with and spend time with someone whom you've idolized and adored since before you could really speak.
Ariana Grande?
And then she says that she basically was just completely wowed that he was even more special and warm and generous in person than she ever could have imagined, which... God, it's good when that happens.
Yeah, and rare. Yes.
And
rare.
Heroes.
Love it.
Wow,
yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So she's going to make a tiny appearance on Kidding next season.
Look, I get it. We got to talk to Bobby Boris Pickett from the Monster Mash on this show.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like working with your hero.
Yeah.
You know?
Jensen's laughing.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
Jensen's laughing, and I assume people are laughing at home as well, but it's absolutely true.
It was a big day for me.
And did he live up to your expectations?
He was wonderful.
Wilson Pickett, who is it? What?
Bobby Boris Pickett.
Okay, and he's the one that sang Monster Mash?
The Monster Mash, yes.
Okay.
That's
fake gargling.
In the lab late one night. Yes, that's the song. That's what we're talking. We had him on the show. I'm just saying the show could have ended then, and I would.
Allie
have
has a silo of water next door, and she does it without any water. She just fakes it, and
true.
Bean bought it.
You could have done some real gargling,
I
right?
I could have, but it worked. Oh, that was fun.
I love it.
See, that's why I don't want to meet Conan, because I love him so very
but
much.
But you know he would be super nice.
I know,
he's nice to everybody.
I know he won't let me down at all. But it's very weird that, like, my two biggest heroes, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, I would meet them later today to watch Jeopardy and eat soup, if you guys are interested, or anyone mm-hmm. that knows
Stop
him
making
is
the plea, would you?
You
I
have
just,
put it out there.
It's starting to sound sad.
All I want in my life. God damn it. Hang out with me, old men.
Well, you got plenty of time to make that happen.
They are in their 90s, you guys. But it is weird that I would definitely want to meet them. And
that
I'm
is
not
strange.
Afraid of meeting them. Because, really, if they don't live up to my expectations.
Right? Jensen, you've met a lot of people in your show business career. Sure. Is there anyone that you would be terrified to meet because you like them too much?
No.
Really? You'd be fine with anybody?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would be intimidated by some people, but mm-hmm. I think I'd be fine. But I mean, like, when we interviewed Steve Martin on the phone, that like, in person, that one would be kind of difficult.
Yeah, that would be huge.
And Letterman would probably be, although Letterman now is like this, you know, kind of a caring, thoughtful guy. But back in like 80s, 90s, I think I would have been very scared of him.
Yeah.
Unless I was an intern.
What about you, Kevin?
What?
Well, Kevin met his soccer guy.
I did. I met Lionel Messi.
And that was like your biggest star in the world,
correct?
To you, right? And you handled that well.
And they told us, don't bring anything to sign. He will not sign anything. And I brought a soccer ball anyway. And then he had his guy take it into the locker room. The whole team signed it.
Amazing. Whoa.
So way better than I thought.
Was that your make-a-wish?
Yes, it was.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good times.
By the way, Dave Grohl, speaking of him, is another guy who, if you worship him and you're afraid to meet him, he exceeds your expectations.
Such a delight. Yeah. Such a kind, funny dude. Absolutely. I do, too. Some birthdays for you guys. Chuck D, Adam Durrett, Sam Mendes, Jason Momoa, and Coolio.
Oh, I wasn't ready for Coolio. Hang on.
Come on,
and
man.
And Coolio.
Dr. Zulu.
Worth it.
Oh, wow.
Very good interview up now at RollingStone.com with their cover artist, Billie Eilish, right now. If you want to read that, she gets very much into her mental health difficulties over the years, which is always good news to hear people speaking outwardly about that. Hey, Disneyland, you guys, is a place in Southern California.
What?
Okay.
That is popular.
Go on.
We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Disneyland Resort coming up in the next 10 minutes. Yeah! In the next 10 minutes. Right here on the Kevin Beach on Q-Rock. First, though, I'm very excited. I've not heard this, but Jensen has told us it's worth hearing.
the follow-up project for Jeremy Renner after Avengers Endgame, you would assume, is some blockbuster movie, right?
Or a one-off on Hawkeye.
Something, maybe. Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what happened, because just the other week, he released a single.
A song?
Yes.
That he sings on?
Yes.
Where he's the singer?
Yes.
Of the
song. There's a long, long line of actors being singers.
And right.
Some very
one.
Successfully.
Well,
a few.
Who are your hits?
Those are the exceptions, all right?
Let's think of the people who aren't hits. Bruce Willis, Eddie Murphy, the Bacon Brothers, Keanu
Don
Reeves,
Johnson.
Don Johnson.
I can't believe you put Eddie Murphy in that list of not hits.
Okay. Well, he has one or two. And Party All the Time.
Party All the Time and Boogie in the Butt are classics.
Okay, classics.
How dare you?
Bean, who would you say is a success? Not Scarlett Johansson, not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Not Russell Crowe. I don't know. Let me think about that.
Yeah, it's not going to work out when you say they're good, because Jeremy Renner is going to follow that pattern. He put out a viral video that was him laying down tracks in the studio, and many people thought it was like a joke. You know what I mean?
He put out like a teaser that was saying, hey, everybody, look what I'm doing.
Yeah, with no warning. And people were like, oh, that's got to be some sort of like Funny or Die parody. But it wasn't. He released a song called Heaven Don't Have a Name. Which is a song he sang backup on earlier in the year. And now he covered it as the main singer, which also makes no sense. In the past, Jeremy Renner has sung. He did a song called I Drink Alone for the soundtrack to North Country. He had tracks featured on the soundtracks for movies like Love Comes to the Executioner and The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. But the one that I noticed is really weird is he also covered the Crash Test Dummies song. The movie Tag, which seems fake. But then I looked it up. I was like, no, that did really happen. So he has a bit of a singing career. So what I want to do is I want to play one song that he just released called Main Attraction.
And this is your new get up on?
No, this is definitely not my get up on if you're just tuning in. This is called Main Attraction.
Every time I take a ride, I feel alive with nowhere to go. I'm the king of the road. You're the queen of my throne. Riding high day and night, satisfied wherever we roam. You're the star of the show. You shimmer like gold. Now baby, let's ride. We got nothing but time. You get all the reaction.
Okay. All right.
You're the man.
kind of generic.
It's like he just watched The Greatest Show and was listening to Imagine Dragons at the same time.
Yeah, right. Very
Imagine
Dragons.
How do I mold these together into something that no one needs?
Is it worse because he's an actor? Like, if that song came out, he's on tune, although they're using auto-tune.
A lot of effects.
A lot of effects on himself. But would you just ignore it?
I would say it's generic.
You just ignore it.
Generic.
Since he's an actor, that makes it like, oh, no.
Well, he says music is his first love.
Okay.
This whole thing was sort of part of a collaboration with Jeep.
Jeep, the
brand.
Vehicle?
Yeah, and I was
wondering where you were going.
I was trying to figure out what other Jeep there could be.
Well, it sounded like maybe a producer or something. I didn't know.
Check out my new song. It's produced by Jeep.
Yep.
Listen, they're for new commercials, and he premieres three songs in the ads that he appears in.
Three different songs?
Yeah, a main attraction, which you just heard, another one called Nomad, and another one called Sign. He was asked recently by an interviewer if there was going to be a full album soon, and Renner did not give any specifics but left the door open. I think he's like Chris Gaines if Chris Gaines was never also Garth Brooks. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, I have another
the alter ego, but not the real guy.
Not the real ego.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's no surprise. Gotta like your style. Renner for Weenie?
Here, maybe not.
Acoustic, maybe.
Okay. Here's an actor who has had a fair amount of success as a singer.
Okay.
Taylor Momsen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
Taylor
okay.
Momsen from Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl.
Very successful with The Pretty Reckless.
But she had to give up acting to get there.
Yeah, you're right. They are few and far between.
And Taron Egerton, if you consider, it got him the role in Rocket Man.
Being but still an actor.
Still an actor,
oh,
yeah.
Still an actor that sings great.
All right. I like your Jeremy Renner pick. I think that's an interesting. I've got some music that just came out this week that I think you need to hear as well.
Okay.
This is at a Florida Marlins game, and it is an unusual choice to sing the national anthem. Now, we've seen a cappella groups, doo-wop it up. We've certainly seen somebody just get out there with a guitar. We've seen, lots of people who just kind of sing it straight. I think this is the first time I have ever been aware of this particular configuration for the national anthem, and I think you guys are going to...
And performing the Star-Spangled Banner, please welcome from Cirque du Soleil's Corteo and three-time winner of the World Championships in Whistling...
What?
What?
Play it again.
Wait, what?
Play that
whole thing again.
Start from the beginning.
Okay, here we go.
That's not...
And performing the Star-Spangled Banner, please welcome from Cirque du Soleil's Corteo and three-time winner of the World Championships in Whistling, Viet Chartreux.
So he's a three-time whistling champ, and his name is...
Viet Chartreux.
All right, so is this... Well, I'll start playing it, then we can chat while it's on. But this guy is, he's a good whistler. is there any point at which it's disrespectful the way you choose to perform the national anthem? Like, is this below the level of musicianship that you should be requiring?
Of, like, respect?
Anthem? Yeah, you wouldn't have a guy ever come out and arm fart the anthem, for instance, even if he could do it.
You're saying it would be disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm just saying that would be disrespectful. But is whistling, is that legit in terms of somebody performing the anthem, or what do you guys think?
Hold on, I'm saluting, so if you could just wait till the end of this song.
I will tell you.
Hand over my heart.
A very impressive final note is coming up. What do you think about this guy's whistling?
I think
he's
pretty
excellent.
Good. Yeah.
You just playing this to mock me?
I would, I think I would listen to this. Oh, listen to that. Run. Mariah, look out. I think I would listen to this over the Jeremy Renner song.
Me too.
All right, big finish, you guys.
Here we go. Ooh.
Oh. Show off.
Ooh.
USA! USA! USA!
Love it.
USA!
Our next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show... It was written in Vogue, the season truly belongs to Brett Gelman. The scene-stealing 42-year-old character actor playing two of the summer's most glorious douches.
May I see your Vogue and raise you a men's health. For television fans, Brett Gelman's face may have been familiar before he showed up on Stranger Things playing a series of assholes, weirdos, and oddballs.
Wow.
Gelman has appeared on and off in many recurring roles. That's a fair characterization of you, I would think, Brett, right?
I guess, yeah, I guess so. As much as I don't like the sound of it, I guess. maybe it's the barrage of all the words together. Yeah, it's too many. Like, maybe two, you know? Like oddball and douchebag. Or,
right.
No, douchebag's actually one of my least favorite. But, no, I think it would be. I do play pretty flawed guys. Yeah. So.
I did
and you're
enjoy
so good at it.
In
Thank
the
you.
Vogue magazine that named it the Summer of Gelman, they asked you why you thought all these D-bag roles were coming your way. Do you remember your response?
When they asked me that. If she would have said D-bag, I would have been like, oh, that's really strange that that you're putting that in the question, that word. But it wasn't a surprise just because I get hired to play pretty flawed.
But you
guys,
said it might be the beard. Possibly
anti-Semitism. Right. Oh, yes. My actual response. Yes. Oh,
amazing.
I'm so stupid. I thought you were talking about like my emotional response at the time that she asked me that.
But I appreciated
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, it could be that, I guess. You
so
know, I
funny.
Mean, I think most great characters are pretty flawed guys.
Sure.
You know? Travis Bickle is a pretty flawed guy.
Sure.
Jake LaMotta, very flawed man.
Sure.
Michael Corleone. But. Yeah, I definitely think it's, and I'm gonna scratch the beard answer. I'm just gonna go with anti-Semitism.
It's the summer of anti-Semitism. Also,
it's the same. Well, it is.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You've been on so many shows, so many great shows. As an actor, has there ever been a time before the Summer of Gelman that we're going through right now that you felt like you made it? Or is this it? Is this where you feel like now now everybody knows who I am?
This is more than it's ever felt, and I'm very grateful for that. I mean,
Are you happy about it or kind of sad about it? Because some actors really prefer the being a little bit more anonymous. There's a level at which you don't want to be more famous than.
When you were a little bit of luck, did you feel like you were? Brett Gelman was the face of the New York lottery.
Yeah, that was not a fame that I wanted. I have to admit it. I just, you know, you work towards, you want to become, I want to become as successful as I can in my field. And part of that is, you know, how that success takes shape is fame. So as you're growing in that, as long as people aren't, disrespectful, which really nobody is ever. It's great. I don't mind people enjoying my work. I'm making it for people. So the fact that
and you're working hard
they
on
are,
it.
Yeah,
he's so good. Brett has always been. I mean, we kind of run in the same circles in comedy and stuff. And he's one of those guys who, whenever he does a role, even if it's like a Funny or Die video that he was doing for fun, he like researches the character's background. He takes the things very serious and almost goes to a level that like none of our friends at least were willing to go. So seeing him transition into drama like this makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's thank you. Yeah, and there's been other points of jobs I've gotten that I feel were turning points, you know, and it is a ladder that you feel like you keep climbing. So, you know, what led me to these two jobs, there were other things that led me there and things that are maybe didn't get recognized by as many people, but that I'm really proud of and that definitely made me a much better actor. So
I mean, I thought you had peaked when you played annoying hipster on Californication. I thought, you can't get better than that.
That was my first job in Los Angeles.
Annoying hipster.
Felicia Fasano, who cast that, she's like, hey, I got a job for you. Perfect role for you. It's an annoying hipster. And then that was his actual name in the script. It was annoying hipster.
I love that.
Yeah.
What's it like being part of the Stranger Things universe? Because we are talking about fanatical, if this isn't redundant, fanatical fans, if you can say that.
It's really insane because it's kind of a disconnect from the experience of making the show. The show is like a very tight family, you know, and it feels even though you're doing these like major set pieces and scenes and action sequences at times, it still feels like it still feels really intimate, you know, and that
so the making of it doesn't change anything.
No, no, and
just the fact that it goes out into the world. And you're,
like I was on that red carpet, and I was like, "Whoa, there are bleachers here filled with children. That's insane." And you know, like definitely on social media, you see just how huge the show is.
Yeah, you brought back New Coke, for God's sakes. That's how big you are.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But you know, it's a real fantasy too to get to play a character like this on a show like this. It's really like I tell people, I'm like, you know, when I grew up watching Spielberg, I wanted to be a character,
the guy in the bunker,
like Murray. Yeah. You know,
it's cool that you learned Russian too. I mean, that's really committing.
I don't think he learned.
That's
it.
A
it's
full
I
did.
Commitment. You were coached.
Oh, I was coached. Yes, I don't know the whole language.
You're right. He didn't independently study Russian.
No, but a lot of people, like a Russian woman, walked up to me in a bar the other night and was like, started speaking to me in Russian. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying to me right now.
You have difficulty doing.
She was like, "Say, oh, well, say one of your lines." I'm like, "I don't remember. I've memorized lines."
You
since
sound
then.
Flawless. I mean,
thank you.
I don't know Russian, but
so
it sounds doesn't sound like
it could have been terrible, Kevin. Yeah, for all we know,
no idea.
Lot of practice, lot of practice. Yeah, and I had a great coach, Elena Baranova.
See, Gary you said Oldman, that. You
Gary
said
Oldman's
that well.
Gary Oldman's Russian coach.
Ooh. Oh,
wow.
We said nothing until you said Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Unless she's lying. Right. Unless she's lying. But I don't think so.
Was the character always set to like be... Because you like were such a standout in season two. Did they up it more for season three? Because I feel like people...
Yeah.
Like it was like such a big role in season two. And you're kind of used to being a guy who like steals scenes. Like, did they say, "Oh, we got to bring Brett back more for season"?
I mean, I love the Matt and Ross. I love the Duffers. Mm-hmm. They're like amazing guys, and we really got along very well on season two, as well as like, you know, David and Charlie and Natalia. So it was just like a great thing. So yeah, and I think when you have a good time with people and they like your character, it makes them more inclined to write more for you,
yeah.
You know, thankfully. So I was, you know, definitely more of a fabric of the whole story. That's of
cool.
Season three.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Stranger Things season three is on Netflix now, as are the first two. We have to take a break. It is the summer, Gelman, and we kind of wanted to save the F word, Fleabag, for when we come back.
Yes.
Because Allie is going to fangirl out like no one you've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And we will just,
she's going to embarrass herself.
She's going to embarrass herself.
It's going to happen.
So we'll talk about that and more with Brett Gelman when we return right after this on Kevin.
Having some fun with actor-comedian Brett Gelman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is the summer of Gelman, if you guys haven't heard.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
Brett,
God,
you said something off the air before we get into a Fleabag. You said something off the air that I've heard from a lot of actors, which is just, well, we'll see what the next job is. But when I look at your IMDb, I swear it doesn't look like there could have possibly been more than 3 months at a time you weren't working on something.
Yeah, no, I always I always fall into something.
You're in 15
thankfully.
Things a year.
So grateful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I work a lot, which I am really grateful for. And what I get to work on and who I get to work with is makes it even better.
Well, that leads us to Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is a genius. For folks who don't know the name, she's the creator of Fleabag and star of that. She's behind Allie, what's your...
Killing Eve,
right.
She was also the first ever female droid in a Star Wars movie.
That's right. And
I
she
mean,
is
come on.
A genius. So tell us how you guys got together.
I got hired to Fleabag really last minute. An Amazon executive called me up on a Wednesday, and he was like, "Hey, we got this great show. We
need a douche.
We shot. Yeah, we need a douche."
He doesn't like that word.
We need a douche. You're
Sorry.
The top douche on our list.
He uses the word flawed often.
We feel like you can be a real scumbag on this show, and and so he was like, "But if you can let me know, they sent me the pilot, which they had shot, and then the scripts for the season." And I'm like, "Well, I'm excited to check it out. You know, shooting in London for a month, sure. It's going to have to be really bad for me to say no to this." for a free trip to London.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was incredible. But he was like, "Yeah, I'll send you all the stuff. And, you know, if you could let me know soon, because your first day of shooting would be Tuesday."
Wow. Wow.
So, that's kind of how it happened.
I don't, this is going to sound insulting, but does that mean everyone else fell through?
Somebody was fired.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that means someone was fired.
So you pretty much had to.
I don't know who that was.
I'm happy you're there because it's bad rules, but.
You had to read the script on the way to the airport. That's how tight you had to cut it, right?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
quick did you realize this is genius?
Right away.
Yeah.
No, I mean, from the opening moments of the pilot, you're just like, oh, well, this person is incredibly special.
She's a goddess. Let's just say it. I wound up getting into Phoebe Waller-Bridge, her show prior to that, Crashing.
Which she just acted on. She wasn't involved behind the scenes.
But you could tell
she was a star.
I knew she was a star. And my friend said, listen, she's got this show coming out. Get a VPN. Watch it illegally. Which I did.
You didn't do that because it's illegal.
No, right. So I watched it. And then I tend to, when I really like something, talk about it a lot.
Of course.
Some say too much. But Fleabag was it for me, to the point where I'd say to friends, oh, you know what? Instead of going out, why don't we stay in and watch Fleabag? And they're like, what is this Fleabag? Enough of Fleabag. Then when it came on Amazon the first season, you know, people were into it here. Okay, it's great. It's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And I thought season one was one of the best seasons of television I'd ever seen. Until season two, which blew season one away, which is insanity.
Because of Brett.
Well, Brett actually had such a huge part, but there's a lot of Martin, your character, and Fleabag that I think they're so similar in so many ways with the alienation and all of that, that they could probably be very close if you weren't such a horrible human being and so intertwined with her sister and all of that. Other life, you two probably would have been best friends.
Right, no, I think...
For people who haven't seen Fleabag, give us kind of a overview. This is on Prime Video.
It's about this woman named Fleabag who has, you know, a lot of issues with herself and with men and with sex. She's just like kind of this... disaster in a lot of ways, trying to find her way, and as she's doing that, she's dealing with her family as well, who are also in a spiral.
Bit of a mess.
Pretty much everybody. You're not in the show if you're not in a spiral. So yeah, and it's just this portrait of all these people, mostly her, really all of her journey in trying to find, you know, the root of why she has all of these problems. I want to
play a clip of your character Martin, who is married to
Claire.
Fleabag's sister.
Yes,
Claire.
Sean Clifford. Yes,
who's incredible, by the way. And I'm sure a lot of people have brought this famous kitchen scene to you. I wish we could play the whole thing because it's an amazing practically a monologue that you do. Yeah. But here's a little bit of Brett Gelman from the season two of Fleabag, which is available on Amazon Prime right now, as he and his wife are in the process of breaking up.
Fine. I tried to kiss your sister on her birthday.
My birthday?
Fine. I mix up birthdays and I have an alcohol problem just like everyone else in this country, but I am here and I do things. I pick up Jake from I make dessert for Easter. I organize the downstairs toilet. I fired the humming cleaner.
You enjoyed that.
I hoovered the car. I put up all your certificates and I don't make you feel guilty for not having sex with me. I am not a bad guy. I just have a bad personality. It's not my fault. Some people are born with personalities.
I mean, come on.
It's one of my favorite lines of the whole show.
It's Martin in a nutshell
right there.
Very brilliant line.
It's genius.
Yeah. How about cuts to the core,
Miss Waller-Bridge.
How about acting royalty Olivia Colman hanging out with her? Lord. What's that like?
It's very, this is a cliche thing to say about somebody who is so huge in every way and like their talent and their person. Mm-hmm. But she's very normal. I mean, everybody, it's a very, like, again, like this show too, it's a very intimate, tight-knit, very chill thing. And everybody on that show, you know, it's just very much showing up to do a job.
She didn't flaunt her Oscar and all of her BAFTAs and everything?
She had gotten back the night before one morning from Venice, from winning Best Actress of Venice. And she was like, hey, darling, look at this. Like, back in a private jet and, like, showed us all a video of her, like, drinking out of the award on her private on the private
like it's
jet.
The Stanley Cup.
She doesn't have one on the one that the festival provided her. And she's amazing. She's a very kind and like a savant in a lot of ways. It's just like she'd be like, hey, and then action, and she's like, boom, right in it. So
Brett, let me tell you what I'm so impressed with here this morning. Unless you're acting now, and this is all, you know, a facade. You seem to love your work.
and are having a great time doing it and are bumping from one great experience to another. Like, where's all the angst that actors are supposed to have about how miserable they are?
Well, right now I'm in a particularly happy place of, like, I just worked a lot. And then the success of these shows and just also how great they came out.
And this is the result of a lot of hard work and a long... People probably know him now from Stranger Things, think it's a little overnight, but this dude's put in tons of incredible comedy work, UCB and such.
What Bean's asking, though, is can you come back when you're kind of at your lowest?
Like an actual D-bag. Yeah,
because he wants that. He needs it.
Right. Yeah. No.
If you have a real hit to the character, depression sets in.
Do I go on? Just come on in.
Bring your sadness.
We'll talk it through.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you have
to. And Bean will smack you around.
No, it's not you got to be open to all the emotions. No,
Stranger
I'm really happy.
Stranger Things 3 is available now on Netflix.
He was
going to share
something with us.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the clock.
I'm about to get emotional. Also, I'm excited because I have another show coming out September 10th called Mr. Mercedes. Adapted from Stephen King.
Oh, Stephen King.
Written by David E. Kelly, starring Brendan Gleeson.
Normal and a lawyer and likable.
I am.
Where can we find out?
I don't know.
That's going to be like on the Audience Network on DirecTV Now.
Okay.
Which is why people didn't see the first two seasons, which I'm not a part of, but which are incredible. But I'm in the third season. So
wonderful.
There will come a time where
there's nothing on TV without Gelman.
That's my address, is television.
Allie, do we have
time? I'm trying
to
be bi-coastal between that and film. You know what I mean? More movies, please.
Do we have time for 60 seconds with Allie?
Nope.
Okay, we don't.
All
right,
fine. Brett, thank you. I'm sorry we're out of time. We had a great visit with you. We really, really appreciate it. Come back and see us anytime.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, Dr. Beer Mug is in the studio. Do you think drinking 4 gallons of water a day like The Rock does is too much and potentially dangerous?
I prefer beer, but hey, whatever.
That's not the answer. We were asking Dr. Beer Mug.
That's not the answer we'd get from Dr. Drew, is it?
Nope. We'll find out.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to Drew about that and other water questions coming up with our weekly visit. First, Allie's here with What's Happening.
Sounds like a very exciting segment coming up.
You know how to tease ahead. We got some water questions ahead.
The fact that you can die from drinking too much water, I think, is fascinating.
OH2. Yeah. I call it OH2.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you do. Well, we are all against this. Dave is for it, which right there.
Means we're in the right.
You know who's in the right. Mm-hmm. America's leading mustard brand French's has collaborated with California-based ice cream company Cool House to create mustard-flavored ice cream.
Okay, you don't have to put so much mustard on it.
National Mustard Day, August 3rd, that's when it kicks off.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
I don't know.
This sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky to live in LA and in California because we get these things ahead of people, but not this. But we're going to have it as well as New York City.
We'll pass it. We'll send it all to New York.
Yeah. They're going to be doing a limited run on August 1st.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
But maybe you're listening on the podcast and you're in Des Moines and you're saying, but it's for me.
French's
has shared the recipe for the dessert on their website.
Yummy.
They say prep time is just 5 minutes, according to instructions, and requires only a quarter cup of mustard. Well, yeah, you're just going to put mustard in good-tasting ice cream.
From this day forward, we're going to stop that right now.
All right, sir.
Agreed.
Okay.
Why does that take 5 minutes?
I don't know.
It's a 30-second recipe. You ruin ice cream by putting mustard on it.
Maybe there's prep time involved.
Prep time of ruining things, right?
Yeah, ice cream needs to maybe get softer.
No.
No.
Don't do that.
Get a spoon out of your drawer.
Do not mix those two.
Garbage.
Get bowls.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it's not something we want.
No.
Dave's going to try it, though. He will let us know.
By the way, we're at Cool House tomorrow.
By the way, some of you like mustard.
I like mustard.
Still a bad idea.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
I like mustard. I like ice cream. This is bad.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, Blue Ivy Carter, she's only 7 years old, but she's already achieved a major feat. Beyoncé and Jay-Z's firstborn has landed on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. This is for the song Brown Skin Girl. That's the hit track from the Lion King, The Gift album, which is currently number 76 on the list.
I love it.
She winds up making a cameo on the hit by singing the opening lyric.
I have a clip if you guys have not heard Brown Skin Girl.
I have not.
Absolutely, please.
You were probably hoping to hear some of that.
Absolutely.
Here it is. All I want to do is zoom, 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 and boom, boom, boom. Just shake your rump.
She is seven?
Yeah, seven years old.
Pretty good. Wow.
I actually do have it for real. That's a joke.
Please,
that was a joke. This is the real.
I hope you do.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me.
I
hate the sharpest tune.
We're talking about the Lion King, though, right?
Yeah, okay. We are. It's Blue Ivy Carter. Do you actually have it?
Yes.
Okay, let's
the real clip, yeah.
Okay.
Oh. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I wasn't going to like it.
That's Blue Ivy?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's seven. Although close, that was actually from The Lion King, but that was Beer Mug's version.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't it either. But, yeah.
So we don't actually have it.
Anyone
Normally
else?
Normally we do.
Anyone else have it?
Normally we end this bit with it.
Oh, no. I do have it.
Okay.
This is it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. This is it. Here she comes. She comes, the beat drop.
Okay.
Get ready. She's 7 years old. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
She's the horn.
Oh, she's playing that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's singing that. That's how good she is.
All right. All right.
I love spicy food almost as much as I hate diarrhea.
I mean, it's
certainly a choice.
For a 7-year-old.
I mean, we can all agree with it.
I did download it for real.
Okay.
If we don't want to hear
okay,
it.
While we were waiting.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink?
It's been a while.
Eat mm-hmm. too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Yeah. I actually dig it.
I don't think that's it, though.
Blue Ivy.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
have it, Kevin?
I do. You mean the real one? You're talking about Blue Ivy.
Finally, the real one.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic.
Yeah.
Touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Yeah, that was, again,
Beer Mug.
You better work.
Again, Beer Mug.
What, do we have a greatest hit CD?
All right. Yeah, I don't have a clip of it, the real one, because why would I?
No.
You guys, good times. Hey, Busta Rhymes flipped out on a woman during a flight to London, and he was escorted off the plane when it landed at Heathrow. Witnesses say he was upset because someone had put their belongings in the overhead bin near his first class seat.
He's on
Worldstar! Ew, was it one of those pores from back in coach? Gross. Apparently became a little aggressive and rude towards the British woman. Her husband intervened.
How much of an issue is that, really?
I don't know. People get really weird. Like, if you are walking and you put your bag up, like, at the beginning of the plane.
Like, nowhere near your seat?
Nowhere near your seat. People get really mad about that.
Well, that's like, technically their space, no?
It is.
Well, it is their space. Absolutely. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. But
Was there a fight?
Nope. Everything was calmed down. But he was escorted off the plane, but not arrested once they landed at Heathrow. Yeah. Are you asking, like, if he broke anyone's neck?
I wasn't going to, no, but I see what you did there.
But he had them all in check.
Got it.
Why was that, like, almost like a Pacino?
I'm not sure.
That was, that's what it sounded like. I'm not going to do that again.
Good.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Adam Duritz, Sam Mendes, That Chick, Jason Momoa, Chuck D, and Coolio.
Look good, smell good, taste good, it's good.
So, Dr. Muggs, we have some questions for you about water intake.
Sure, yes. Mm-hmm.
Allie got a water silo a couple days ago.
It's a gallon container.
It's also a Dr. Drew segment.
What?
We normally do this with Dr. Drew.
But we already have a doctor here on staff. Why bother going
to double up?
Yeah, a guy who may or may not actually be a doctor.
Mm-hmm. I'm way more qualified than Drew.
Drew is definitely a doctor.
Okay, well, let's go to Drew then. We'll go to him first, and then we'll see if Muggs concurs. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Well, is there a theme song to Dr. Drew?
No. Ooh,
we've never. Like
what? Well, there's not a theme song for... Well, I know there is one for Dr. Beer Mug.
Hello, Dr. Beer Mug. Paging Dr. Beer Mug. Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
Hello.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from, a back alley. rally in a van, I got my degree. I see you, Dr. Drew, and you can't defeat me. If you're feeling sick, I find a cure quick. HMOs can't keep the beer mug in check. PhDs of the world, and I am on top. Concur with my findings, so you will get pop. Only one way to practice, and it is my way. Listen to a guy in a bar all day. Clean bill of health in my heart, it won't quit. Beer mugs for real, and beer mugs legit. Have kidney stones, drink water and lemon. Before you work out, get stoned just for fun. Better listen up and pay attention. Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug. Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from.
Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
No cancer in my butt, cause hot sauce I chug.
Hello, my name is Dr. Beer Mug.
All right, thank you for the time.
Anytime.
Wow. That's it. That's a new segment.
We'll be right back.
Dr. Drew, what are you going to come back with from that?
It is too good, and I am so jealous. The House of Pain. Come on now. Or Insane
so good.
Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill, yes. Any of the above.
All right. So, Dr. Drew, we will go to you first on this because, believe it or not, we do trust your expertise a little more than Bugs. But Allie's
by the way, he's been batting 1,000.
He's been very impressive.
Thank you, Drew.
I'm humbled.
Allie has been drinking a gallon of water a day the last few days here. And then she read a report that The Rock, who we all love, drinks 4 gallons of water a day. And I just look. That terrifies me. That can't be good for him, right?
Well, it's complicated, right?
Okay.
You got to remember, I mean, Rock is doing a little bit of the steroids, and he's working out really hard.
A little bit of steroids.
You know, allegedly.
So his water, his fluid demands are higher. Water generally, the common aphorism is eight ounce glasses a day is about what we need. Even that's probably excessive. The fact is our kidneys are perfect instruments, and we really can pretty much handle almost whatever we give it, unless we're taking medication. And, you know, if you hear about people dying on the football field or having problems with their water metabolism, it's usually because they're taking some medication that starts to interfere either predictably or idiosyncratically with the kidney function.
Oh.
And you start to accumulate too much water, and that drives your sodium down, and you can get seizures from that. It can be quite serious. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. Check with your physician if there's any difference in intake and water if you are taking a medication. How about for the average person who's not on anything?
Average person, again, to drink a gallon of water, really what you should be drinking about, you know, again, eight ounce glasses a day. What's that? 2 liters a day, approximately. As I said, that's probably too much. But if you're trying to control your
appetite. We don't talk in liters here, Dr. Drew. For God's sakes, we talk in gallons.
This is America.
Okay, I'm about to do math. You're saying I should be having 64, but instead I'm having 128.
You're having about double of what you ought to have. And again, that ought is a pretty loose ought.
Also,
and you're not going to hurt yourself with a gallon. And if you're trying to, let's say, diet, people do generally recommend that you push fluids because one of the first things that happens when you diet is you lose. You immediately start diuresing. Fat holds water, and so you start losing water in your body, and people advocate increasing the water intake so that is sort of held up.
Allie does drink the full gallon during the show, though.
That's a little weird. I think that's because you guys make her nervous.
It's possible.
Also, I'm diuresing.
Whatever that is.
I don't know what that is,
but Allie loves the word.
So into it.
it's not diuresing. I thought you were going to say diarrhea. Also, I'm diarrhea.
She's down with that, too.
Diarrhea is, you know, your kidney pulling water and fluid out. But, you know, there's an important distinction we made here between water and fluid, right? Water is water, right? H2O. But fluid has some sort of solute in it. Like, you know how in Gatorade touts what they're replacing, potassium and sodium?
Right, right,
so the closer the liquid is to what's going on in your plasma and your bloodstream, the more you actually hang on to and replete your body volume. So volume, fluid, and water are three different categories.
Okay.
Water goes out of your body pretty much as quick as you put it in.
Yeah, it does.
But fluid, again, something containing sodium, potassium, and other elements, other things that give it an osmotic load, those things tend to stay in your body better and replete you better if, say, you're outside, you're dehydrating, and you're trying to maintain your body fluid.
So I have more ozomotley loads in me?
I don't think she said ozomotley, no.
What were you? Jesus. What was it?
Wow.
It was ozomotley.
Dr. Drew, one thing we haven't mentioned is, don't you get a fair amount of, like animals get a lot of their water from grass that they graze. Aren't we the same way as humans? Don't we get a bunch of water from food?
Mm-hmm. We do. You know, each animal has kind of a different function in terms of how their kidneys work, right? Ours, you know, we concentrate reasonably well, but we lose a fair amount of water, and we have to constantly replace it. We're set up to hang on in situations where, you know, water is scarce, but you can very quickly dehydrate and very quickly get into trouble with lack of water. So
especially
we're a little different, you know, every organism is set up a little differently in terms of their kidney function, how it concentrates what it's filtering.
Okay.
So when we come in from the heat and we've been working out, we should drink water or Gatorade?
Well,
or something else that
initially,
has
initially, right? It's an interesting question.
Thank you.
A young person probably it's water mostly, but older people lose fluid very readily, and their kidneys aren't as efficient as they used to be. So, you know, for older folk, provided they have normal heart function, it gets a little complicated when you get into the weeds of this. You know, if you have any cardiac compromise, well, then fluid becomes a problem. Because you're not pushing through the kidneys effectively, so fluid accumulates in your body.
Mm.
So it can get a little complicated.
Dr. Biermark, do you concur with your colleague?
Dr. Drew, did you know that mineral water
Dr. Pinsky.
Please. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Pinsky, did you know
Either
that
way.
Mineral water is great for hair and nail growth?
I did not, and I'm not quite sure how.
Mineral versus tap?
Also,
yes. Okay.
Also not on topic at all.
but okay.
All right. Thank you, my great esteemed colleague.
Muggs just had water facts. He was dying to share. You should go to drdrew.com and check out all of his wonderful podcasts, including the latest Dr. Drew After Dark, by the way, which features our friend Doug Benson, and it's very, very funny. Dr. Drew is Middays Live on KABC from noon till 3 on AM 790. And you can get a doctor in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app. Download it today in the App Store or Google Play. This has been Water Talk. Thank you to both of the doctors.
I got to go pee.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Here we are on Friday Eve.
Yay!
Friday.
Allie is here with our final Friday. Thursday. Look at what's happening on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
Jay-Z, Imagine Dragons, Halsey, Miley Cyrus.
Oh, it's going to be such
Killers,
a great show.
It's going to be good.
The
Can't
Lumineers.
Wait. I just booked my flight.
Santana, Dead & Company.
Fantastic.
Marilyn, here I come.
John Fogerty, Robert Plant.
We're already in. We're going.
Yeah, tickets were supposed to go on sale in April, but who sells tickets that soon? I mean, the concert isn't until August 16th through the 18th.
It's the second now.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Woodstock
Sorry, first
50.
Mm-hmm.
Woodstock 50 was supposed to take place at the same location as Woodstock, at least in upstate New York at some point.
Okay, but that right.
Okay, that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
Backers backed out. There was virtually no money.
Right.
But then you move it to this pavilion in outside of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this sounds okay. Yeah, some people dropped out.
A band or
no
two.
No big deal.
Yeah, right? No, we're still going.
Here's the thing. We'll make it free, you guys. We'll make it free.
Even better.
And then money is going to go to wonderful causes, just in the same kind of
If it's
vein.
Free, what money's going to a cause?
No, because they had asked people to donate.
Oh, I see. Right.
So the money from donations and all that, and through, you know, water. Maybe you're buying a burrito.
Merch.
That money, merch, would have gone to great causes, just like the causes from Woodstock 50.
You said would have. You mean are going to.
Peace and love. No, it's not going to, because Woodstock 50 is officially canceled now.
What?
I know.
I got to be honest. You got to give that guy credit for trying. That
do
guy
we,
would not stop trying.
Do we give him credit,
I mean,
or do we
point.
Say, Michael Lang, sir, you
stop
wasted
it.
All of our time for months. It was never going to happen. You're okay to say, listen.
This is not a sane person, folks.
It's just, it's not going to happen. We messed up. It's okay. We'll figure something out for next year.
I'm a straight punk.
There is no shame in admitting that it just didn't work out. We learn from our failures.
Quitters never give up.
I have heard that, and it was incorrect the first time.
Well, no one has learned from this failure more than me. I've been spending all morning off and on the phone trying to get something together for us at the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm super stoked to announce a new commercial we'll be running.
With Woodstock 50's cancellation, we here at the Kevin and Bean Show would like to tell you about something we believe will fill the void. We're thrilled to announce Woodstock 49 and a half! We'll be sliding right in there, taking full advantage of an opportunity that we could exploit for money. See, Woodstock 50 had first promised to be at Woodstock, the location of the original concert. Then they moved to Maryland. Well, we've secured somewhere even better. The parking lot of Chinese restaurant Let Us Walk and Roll in beautiful Yorba Linda, California.
Awesome.
That's right. We got at least 50 parking spots to work with. And our lineup is sick.
So sick.
Woodstock 50 promised you names like Imagine Dragons, Jay-Z, James Taylor, and The Killers. And yes, we admit that sounds amazing. But that's before you hear who we got. Woodstock 49 and a half will feature performances by Harvey Danger, American Idol's Bo Bice, Flobots,
No Handlebars,
the kid who said,
"Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina,"
in Kindergarten Cop. He's 37 now. Paul Abdul, no relation, it's Paul, don't ask about Paula. A trampoline, the Pasadena Children's Motocross Club, a guy named Frank who says he's got some leftover fireworks, DJ Omar Khan, an Amazon Alexa reading lyrics from Sgt. Pepper's, and the missing Malaysian plane. We found it!
No.
So stay tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show for more info and ticket information as Woodstock 49 and a half is around the corner. It's coming! Maybe. Probably not. Nope. Already canceled.
Oh, that's a shame. That sounded great.
I tried, man.
Trampolines!
A trampoline. And
I was so excited.
I tried.
Guy that's 30 now.
Yeah, from Kindergarten Cop.
Broke our heart twice in one segment here.
Yeah. Wow.
That hurt.
Was a real journey.
I thought, what a great fallback.
Yeah. Oh,
we'll try it for 51.
Okay. All right. See, it's okay, again, to admit that you were wrong.
Yeah.
You were over your head. No big deal.
Thank you.
We learned from it. We move on.
We can say that.
Let's give it one more try. Let's get back in the groove.
Right?
So after months of teasing the title of her sixth studio album, Lana Del Rey has revealed the release date, the track list, and album art for the record. The album includes previously released tracks, Venice Bitch, Doin' Time, and Hope is a Dangerous Thing for Women Like Me to Have, But I Have It. The album, Norman Effing Rockwell, will be released on August 30th.
Obviously.
You love her so much, Bean. You're so
really
excited
do.
For this.
I am.
Well, you know what else you should be excited for?
Tell me.
She released the Los Angeles date at the Hollywood Bowl Thursday, October 10th, you guys.
That is very convenient for me.
There you go. Tickets for the Hollywood Bowl show go on sale.
She's not coming to your house?
Well, I mean, Allie was telling me how excited I was going to be by this date.
I mean,
did you think I was going to cater it to where you were living?
It was thousands of miles away, that's all. But I'm happy for those of you who can go see her because she's wonderful.
Yeah, because our show is in L.A.
So. And the Hollywood Bowl, by the way.
Oh,
great,
iconic.
Great venue for her.
She'll be great there.
So tickets for the Hollywood Bowl show go on sale to the general public beginning Friday, August 9th at 10 a.m. local time at LiveNation.com. Exciting. Exciting, everybody.
Exciting.
It's pretty exciting. Kelly Clarkson is a delight, and we love her, and she is hosting a pet adoption TV special called Clear the Shelters. The special is a companion to the pet adoption campaign of the same name that's supported by NBC TV stations nationwide. So on August 17th, thousands of rescue shelters will reduce or waive their adoption fees to encourage people to give a pet its forever home.
Kelly Clarkson!
And something I didn't know, Kelly used to own a rescue ranch in Texas, where she had more than 80 rescue animals, including 30 dogs, 14 horses and goats and pigs and ponies. I mean, that's a dream life for Bean.
It really
is. To
have
a huge
ranch. He had that life.
And then
he
had
that. Killed them all.
He didn't kill any of
them.
What?
He killed them all?
Yeah. No,
that's what I thought.
They died of old age.
Oh, okay.
You killed them when they were old?
That's my bad.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, that one's getting a little long in the tooth. Off with your head. And then he decapitated him.
No, none of that is true.
That is crazy. I never knew that.
How did you make my joke so much worse?
I would have never joined this team if I knew that. He's disgusting.
Yeah. When he gets sick of an animal, he's like, oh, no, it's totally old. And you're like, you just got that bulldog a week ago. And he's like, no.
Yeah, but once they're not cute.
It's
why
nine.
Do you have them around, you know? Every single thing I learn that's new about Kelly Clarkson makes me love her even more.
Absolutely.
I agree.
She's cool.
She is an absolute love bug. By the way, the new show, The Kelly Clarkson Show, is going to debut September 9th on stations all across the U.S.
Nice.
Nice indeed. Is she going to go up against Jerry O'Connell's new show, I wonder?
Don't have the answer to that.
Oh,
I would
man.
Hate that. That would be
I would hate that because Sophie's those
choice.
Are two of the most wonderful human beings. I don't think that God would do that to us.
Makes sense.
God does
God
the
does
schedule?
TV okay. programming. Right. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
He should make Sunday nights less cluttered then.
Really? What is up with Sunday nights?
Right.
It's pretty insane. You guys, James Wan, you know that guy? Pretty great director.
Okay.
Before he returns back to the world of Atlantis for DC Comics Aquaman 2, he's going to return to his horror roots. He's set to direct an untitled secret horror project for New Line Cinema. Plot details keep being kept under wraps. Wow, I'm struggling. It's not great. Chip, I don't need you poking around from around the corner just to stare at me. But it did kind of delight me. He previously collaborated with New Line Cinema on The Conjuring, as well as The Curse of La Llorona, and Lights Out. He's also producing the upcoming Mortal Kombat. So the guy knows what he's doing. By the way, James Wan, you want to know how much he has grossed worldwide in his career?
Sure.
Not really.
Bean doesn't,
okay. I don't either. Sure. But I will tell you, Aquaman grossed over $1 billion worldwide.
Okay.
Come on!
I mean, I guess that's all right if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, if you like money.
Uh-huh. If you're going for an absolute smash.
Right.
$52 million.
It's a late guess. Was it 52
it was,
million?
It was not.
She said a billion.
It was over a billion.
8 or 9 million?
Mm. No, again, no. It was a billion.
$2 million.
I mean, this isn't a guessing situation. She started with the answer.
Arnold stopped.
That's only $500?
Did you guys hear about Cardi B's concert on Tuesday night in Indianapolis that was canceled at the last minute due to an unexplained threat?
Unexplained threat.
It was an unexplained threat, and they had posted, the actual venue had posted, due to a security threat and safety concerns at this evening's show, management has advised that the show be postponed. The threats are under investigation. Concert has been rescheduled. All tickets will be honored. But she spent all day yesterday trying to debunk rumors that it was canceled because she was wasted.
Oh.
She was too drunk to perform, and they traced it all back to a random Twitter user named Marcus, who was the start of the problem because he took a screenshot between him and an unnamed woman who cited an inside source that claimed she was too drunk to perform.
That's a lot of degrees.
How rumors get started.
That's a game of telephone.
That's
right
how
there.
News gets started
that
these days.
That is
crazy.
Very true. Very true.
Press, 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 press. Cardi don't need more press.
She really doesn't. But you also don't need bad press that is incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good situation. Right, bitch?
I mean, she set you up.
Yeah, bitch.
Thank you.
Cool.
$52 million.
No!
Not guessing at that.
It's not?
Anymore. No.
No, it's still not. Some birthdays for you. Lead singer of the Counting Crows, Adam Duritz. You guys, August and everything after.
He dated...
Is that the one with Rainy in Baltimore?
It is.
I love that
song
so
much. That is second to last track on the album.
It's a great album.
Take it easy.
He dated Frenzy for a long time,
yeah,
right?
Courtney Cox.
Right.
Yep, we call her Frenzy.
Why?
Because she was on the show Friends.
Why?
Well, it was a big... Like, she was a star before, but it was her breakout role.
Why?
Well, it was a huge hit. People are still talking about it. Ask
why?
Kevin.
That's
a
great
well,
question.
Kevin would like to know why. He agrees with you. He has no idea. He hates Friends.
Why?
That's delayed, Rodney. You can't.
He's thinking
be that
about
delayed.
It. He's thinking about it.
Why does Kevin hate it? Kevin, answer Rodney.
It got so much more attention than it deserved because it's not a great show.
Okay.
Why?
It's good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's why?
Good. It's good.
What makes it good? The birds?
The birds, the seagulls, or whatever that is.
That it was so quiet. No seagulls were like right in the room. All right.
Do you Adam, live with seagulls?
Give Bean a minute. He'll kill them. Come on.
Right. You really got to take care of those seagulls,
yep.
Right, Bean?
Like
who
you
else
do.
Is celebrating a birthday today?
Sam Mendes, Jason Momoa, Chuck D, and Coolio.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's up? It's Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood ghetto witch doctor superhero down to go toe to toe with any Hank Frank and Joe straight from the 4-0 THEVZ 40 Thieves in the house, mass circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
and gentlemen, Coolio, thanks for coming by.
Very chill.
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. A 5 p.m. commercial free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. Professor Brian Cox is going to come on the program. He's going to call us because Bean is obsessed with the fact that we almost got hit by an asteroid.
We
or
did.
A meteor or some type of
We didn't.
We did almost get hit, and they didn't know about it until just a few days. There's people whose job it is to track these asteroids and these meteors that are heading toward Earth, and they missed this one.
I think Bean set this up so he can talk to his boyfriend.
And that concerns me, and I feel like we should be taking this more seriously as it could potentially end life on Earth as we know it.
Why? It was like gazillions of light years away.
It was 40,000 miles away.
What? Same.
Also, you've had an encounter with a shark. Comedian Brad Williams will join us. And tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of Keep It 100.
Nope.
What?
It's the 100th week of Keep It 100.
Same.
I mean, it's kind of the same.
Same.
Anniversaries mean years.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Agree to disagree.
Wow, Chip, why is tomorrow your last day? I can't figure it out with these dicks.
Seems like such a chill place to
God,
work.
So take me, Chip.
What an environment.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play only songs that we featured on Keep It 100.
And they are all 100 years old.
Yes.
And it's definitely not an anniversary. No matter what you say, no anniversary tomorrow.
It's the greatest hits of 1990.
You know what would be a great hit? That asteroid.